Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, the September 20th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a suspect accused of murdering his parents and firing at his ex-girlfriend is dead after leading police on a manhunt that lasted for hours. At 2:30 in the morning, Chester County District Attorney Tom Hogan said the manhunt is over and the suspect is dead. 59-year-old Bruce Rogel of Glenmore was deceased, ending a massive search authorities launched Wednesday evening. Hogan says when Pennsylvania State Police spotted Rogel in his silver Honda Odyssey, he led police on a chase. During the chase, state police were then joined by the SWAT team. The chase ended in the West Bradford Township neighborhood where Rogel's ex-wife lives. Rogel crashed his van into the side of the house. No word if the house that he crashed into was the ex-wife's. When police made contact with him, he was already dead. Hogan says Rogel received notice that his divorce was finalized Wednesday afternoon, and in the judgment, the family's home was awarded to the now ex-wife.
I started seeing all these Twitter posts pop up about people in Westchester saying, oh, great, there's guys running around our neighborhood. It went on for a couple hours, right?
It did. Yeah. It went on for a while. It all started at 5:45 in the evening. Rogel drove to his ex-wife's home, and as she was in the driveway changing the oil in her car, he fired 6 shots at her. She was not hurt in the incident, but police say some of the bullets hit nearby houses. Hogan says at 6:15, Rogel drove to the Bellingham Retirement Community in East Goshen Township and shot his parents, William and Nancy, both in their late 80s, to death in their apartment. He then fled. At 6:30, police issued a lockdown in a 2-mile radius of the facility while they were searching for Rogel. Westchester Area School District sent an alert stating that they locked down schools in the area. Members of the band at East High School were being contained as part of the lockdown. Police searched for the suspect throughout Chester County and even surrounding states. He was located at 1 a.m. on Thursday. Hogan says when police made contact with him after crashing into a home, he was already deceased, but authorities have not yet said exactly how Rogan died.
I'm always curious as to why? What set this guy off? I mean, he killed his own parents. He went after his ex-wife. I wonder what the connection was between the, you know, is he just going out and obviously not a well-liked person.
Looking at the turn of events, he went after his wife first. I feel like he went to go do that to his parents so they didn't have to hear about what he had done.
Or because he was helping take care of them and he knew this, he was going to end up dead.
That
so
too.
Kill them and then, I mean, listen.
You try to make crime relief to someone who's clearly demented, but
you
try to follow the chain though. It's not uncommon though to that point where someone will kill their parents in the history of serial killers or mass murderers, that they'll do that so that they don't have to deal with the pain of living on after they've done their heinous act. Yeah.
Just think what it was like for this family 48 hours ago. Yeah. You know, and the tragedy that's ensued since and the loss of life. And it would have been okay eventually. You know, they would have gotten through this pain. Yeah. And just now everybody's life is, if they're still alive, completely different and awful.
Yeah, absolutely terrible. So he killed both of his parents. He shot at his ex-wife. She was not injured, and he is dead. A gunman opened fire outside a crowded Pennsylvania courtroom Wednesday afternoon, shooting at police and others before an officer fired multiple shots at him, killing him. Fayette County District Attorney Richard Bauer said Wednesday evening that the German Township police officer shot and killed the gunman after he entered the lobby in Masontown with a handgun drawn and opened fire, injuring 4 people. The gunman was not named, but the DA said that he was due in court on charges related to a recent domestic violence incident. So something similar here. Bauer said Masontown Police Sergeant Scott Miller first encountered the gunman and was injured when he exchanged gunfire with the shooter. When Miller took cover, Bauer said the gunman proceeded to fire shots, injuring 2 men and 1 woman. In this case, as it is so often the case, the German Township police officer ran towards the danger, not away. He protected over 30 to 40 people from injury or death, Bauer said. These police officers and these emergency management people risk their lives every day, and today they are all a shining light in our community. Bauer declined to say whether any civilian victims were related to the domestic violence allegations. He said the gunman was facing charges of strangulation, aggravated assault, terroristic threats, and simple assault. He said that there was a protection of abuse order against the gunman in the strangulation case. All of the victims of the shooting are in fair condition. The search continues for a rogue reptile spotted roaming around South Jersey. Residents are being warned to keep a close eye on their kids and their animals after a small alligator or caiman measuring about 3 to 4 feet long was spotted in Mullica Township.
I was looking at the footage, and it, you know, it's one of those cases where you're, it's hard to judge it by its surroundings.
Of how big it is.
Look pretty damn big to me.
The reptile was spotted in the front yard along Hamburg Avenue on Tuesday. The woman who lived in the house didn't even know it was there. Police knocked on our door and said, there's an alligator in your front lawn.
Okay, so Casey.
Yeah.
If you saw an alligator in New Jersey, would that make you happy?
Would that count?
Oh, man.
Listen, I'll tell
the difference, though. It's an alligator and potentially, though, a caiman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's why it's not going to count. Let me tell you this, and then I think this is why it's not.
Because you could drive over
count.
To Mullica Hill and join the search party and maybe fulfill a childhood dream. But anyway, go ahead.
But police believe that it was a pet that was let go.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter.
No?
It's still in the wild. It's still in the wild.
As long as it's in the wild.
But you know what? No, Press. It's just.
It's not indigenous to the area.
I mean, I want to see it. Don't get me wrong. Just doesn't count.
For you, it'd be similar to going to the zoo.
I had a feeling. Yeah. I had a feeling. And you want to see a big one anyway.
Yes,
so.
I do.
I understand. Who knows? This is a little guy.
Give it some time. Let it eat a few pets, and you may have a big one.
Yeah, right. He might be there for a while.
Yeah, so they think somebody had it as a pet, and it outgrew the tank that it was in, and they just let it go. And it's now roaming the creeks in the woods.
Well, that's a responsible pet owner.
Yeah, well, I had a friend who had an alligator.
Yeah.
It was a weird thing, but he had a gigantic tank, and I think, well, you know. No,
how big did it get?
I don't know. How big is that?
About 3.5 feet?
Yes, yeah. Something like that, and he bought it at a pet store in and around this area. I don't know if the pet store is
Alligator World?
No, it wasn't Alligator World.
Were you allowed to own them?
I don't know.
I don't think
it was. To be honest, I don't know.
I don't think it was a wise thing for him to, but dude, when he would have to, like, clean that tank, he would just shake it out and let it kind of like run around the room.
Oh,
it ran around, would it get underfoot and hide, go running under the couch?
Well, it would go under things.
Go play with your ball.
I was only in the room one time when it was taken out of the cage, and I was terrified. But so people do own them as pets. And
we used to bring one by the studio
all the time. Yeah,
yeah. Necronomicon, the prognosticating alligator.
What an incredible power of prognostication that thing had.
Mm-hmm. We would set food out and see if he would go to the plate that said the Eagles on it, see if they would win the football game.
I wonder what Necronomicon's up to these days. You think he's alive?
I think he works for the NFL.
Those things live for a long time.
They do.
They can live for a long time.
The New Jersey Fish and Wildlife Commission just caught a caiman last week near Old Bridge, New Jersey, and shipped him off to an alligator rescue in the Poconos, where they'll find a zoo or other habitat for the creature, but now still no sign of the one in Mullica Township. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yummy.
Last night in South Philly, the Phillies ended their series with the Mets with a win. Reese Hoskins became the 7th fastest player to hit 50 career home runs, and the Phillies kept pace in the National League East with a 4-0 victory. Zach Eflin and 5 relievers combined on a 6-hitter, and Odubel Herrera added a 2-run shot for the Phillies. They open up the most important series of the season tonight as they travel to Atlanta for a 4-game set. With only 11 games left in the regular season, the Phillies are 5.5 games behind the Braves for first place in the National League East, but the two teams play each other a total 7 times. Vince Velasquez will start for the Phillies, and game time is at 7:35. In soccer, Fabrice Jean-Pico scored in second half stoppage time as the Union ended the Sounders' 9-game winning streak with a 1-0 victory last night in Seattle. Union goalkeeper Andre Blake made 4 saves for his 9th shutout of the season. They're back home on Sunday afternoon to face Sporting Kansas City. Left tackle Jason Peters and running back Jay Ajayi both look to be on the schedule to play on Sunday when the Eagles host the Colts. Peters left Sunday's loss to the Buccaneers with a quadricep injury, and Ajayi missed almost all of the first half with back discomfort. Head coach Doug Peterson described running back Darren Sproles as day-to-day as well, although he said he expects Sproles to be out longer than Ajayi. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs!
Yay.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. By the way, yes, thank you for the correction. I misspoke. I meant to say Mullica Township. I said Mullica Hill. So
it's not
anywhere near there. So you'd have to go to Atlantic. It's out there. Anyway, so thank you very much. Dear friends, we welcome you to a Thursday morning, and we got most of the week behind us. We are going to get even closer today, giving away a 4-pack of pit tickets for Rock Allegiance on Saturday, October 6th. And that comes along with a chance for you to make a stage announcement and some other things. So we get to that at the end of today's program. We have a couple of guests that are on our show today. We have Lavelle Crawford, who's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight and also Friday and Saturday. And then we have the lovely Alexis Texas,
yeah,
adult film star. She's a friend of the show. She's going to be at Club Risque at the various locations. She'll be in town. So Alexis is stopping in this morning. We will talk to her. Now, we have a couple of ways for you to win some good stuff today. Obviously, Birthday Bucks Part 2 is taking place yet again at 8 a.m. Stop number one on your chance to win $1,000 today, five times altogether. We'll do it again at 11 and 1 and 4 and 6, I believe. I don't have the times written down, but I think I remembered them. It was, yeah, that's it. So listen up for the word that we will tell you to enter through the app or through the website, and maybe you'll win $1,000. Now, if you don't win that way, we have another way for you to win this morning. Marissa is getting it set up. I won't hit it until after you give me the go-ahead, Marissa. But our friends at Acme have given us five $100 gift cards to give away, and we're doing something called the Acme 500.
Yay!
It's a pricing game, ladies and gentlemen.
I've always loved the pricing games. Going back to Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah,
of course, all the ones they did on The Price is Right.
So what we will do is probably take a break and come back, and I'll give you the details on how you can win. But it's everybody's going to have a shot at this. It's going to be via our social media, so it'll be an ongoing thing running throughout the show. But I think this will be kind of fun for you. So we have that opportunity coming up and a bunch of other stuff. So why don't we go ahead and take a break right now, come back in just a moment. We'll have a stupid question and the entertainment report when we return, and the details on how you can win from Acme today. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly, or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So our stupid question prize is a $50 Visa gift card that we're going to give away from the Joint Chiropractic. Wait a minute, before I ask that question, Marissa, are we good to go with, we got a couple more minutes or what? Thumbs up. All right, I'm going to tell you about this contest first before I ask the stupid question. We are doing the Acme 500, a pricing game. Our friends at Acme Supermarkets, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, have given us five $100 Acme gift cards to give away this morning. And we are doing it in fine form. Marissa went shopping at Acme yesterday, and she bought a whole bunch of groceries. And we're going to do a pricing game. So what we have done is displayed all these items that Marissa has purchased at Acme. And this is along the lines of, you know, those games when you look at a giant jar full of gumballs and you try to guess how many are in there?
Yes.
It's something similar to that. So we have all these items that we've taken pictures of, posted on our social media accounts. And it's up to you to let us know how much you think all of that costs. The actual retail price of these items, if you will, via Price is Right phrasing.
Unless you think it's impossible, Preston got it to the dollar on his first guess.
I did. I nailed it.
He nailed it to the dollar It scared you.
It scared Marissa. She turned and looked at me like, are you reading my mind or whatever? So anyhow, it can be done, and here's what you need to do. We are going to do this via text, so you need to go to our social media accounts, take a look, ballpark it. You can try looking up the items, but I just looked at it, and I just kind of made a guesstimation by seeing how many items were there, and I nailed it. So what we're going to do, and Marissa, you're going to need to help me out with this as far as exactly what you want people to text in and the way this will work. So we're going to do it to the nearest dollar. without going over.
Yes.
If you go over, it doesn't right. count.
Showcase so, rules.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like the Showcase Showdown. So people need to text in. What do they need to do?
So you're going to text the word ACME, A-C-M-E, plus the dollar amount to 39333. And we have a campaign set up, so it's going to go right in there, and then we're going to see all the entries.
All right, so you can take a look on our Twitter account, on our Instagram account, and Facebook as well, and you'll be able to take a look at the pictures, and you can guess, and... Very, very easy to do. And if we have more than one correct answer, we will draw randomly from that pool of correct answers. One entry per person. And we'll give away those $100 gift cards. We'll reveal who those are a little bit later on today. So
I love this.
That's going to be running through the
show. That's my jam, Acme. You know.
Yeah, you know, I've never won one of those, you know, how many gumballs in the jar thing.
Yeah.
But I won this.
Yes, you did.
It. So it can be done. It can be done. Take a look now. Okay, so stupid question. I'm going to do that now. What do you call a group of animals named as a cackle is a group of what type of
a
animal?
A cackle is a group of what kind of animal?
Exactly. 215-263-WMMR, because you've heard of a gaggle of geese and a murder of crows and so on and so forth. But a cackle is a group of what type of animals? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. Now, while we're waiting for you to get through with that, I'll rattle off some birthdays for you. Today is September 20th, a Thursday, and it is Ben Shepherd of Soundgarden's birthday today.
Huh.
Ben is the bassist of the band, and he is 50 years old.
I had a conversation with him a few years ago, and I didn't know who it was. He was at the MMRBQ, and I didn't recognize him. I like Soundgarden, but that's one of those bands where I recognize Matt Cameron, Kim Thayil, and Chris Cornell, and did not recognize Ben Shepherd. I just
sort
didn't know what he looked
like. Script, yeah.
Yeah.
I've met him a couple times. He reminds me very lightly of Liev Schreiber for some
really?
Reason.
Huh.
Just a little bit.
He's a big guy.
He is a big guy.
Yeah. And but he could not have been more pleasant. It was just an interesting. We were just talking about being backstage at the MMRBQ.
Is he a huge hockey fan? Or
I
is
don't
it,
remember.
Because I remember him being backstage and there being somebody back there that was like, "Hey, you like this? Why don't you meet this guy?"
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think he is a hockey fan.
Well, okay. Let's just say he is.
Yeah.
I like that he is. If he is,
Ben Shepherd of Soundgarden is celebrating his 50th birthday today. So the big 5-0 for him. An outstanding guitarist by the name of Nuno Bettencourt.
Yes.
He's from the band Extreme. Celebrates his 52nd birthday. He's a shredder. Right now, he's playing for Rihanna.
He's done a really? Lot of. He does yep. a lot of that, right?
Yep. He's a hired gun.
Yeah.
And here
that's
we
a
go
good out. Gig to have.
Yeah. He's that versatile. He can play pretty much anything. But he's known to be a bit of an a-hole.
Oh, really?
Man.
I've met him. He was nice to me, but he's a bit of a diva.
You know why? You brought up hockey, and he's a big hockey fan.
Damn it. He's 52 today. Kristen Johnson.
Yes.
The actress from Third Rock from the Sun. And she also was in Flintstones' Viva Rock Vegas.
She's very tall.
Yeah.
Had a bit of a bout with the booze.
Oh, did she?
A whole bunch of bees. But yes, she's doing very well. And coming back into the mainstream.
She was in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. She played this Russian spy. She was really hot in
there. She looked hot, but they had her the big red lips. And she was doing the pronounced accent.
Yeah, what
was
her name in that?
Something vaginal in reference.
Yeah. There was a lot of vagina. Was the chick from Summer School.
That's right. And she was in the first movie.
Right.
And this one was, I don't know if it was a play on, you know, one of those Bond characters.
Yes, it was Ivana Humpalot.
Ivana Humpalot. There you go. You knew it was that.
She's 51. Hey, Gary Cole.
Oh.
Wow.
Who is just the best.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Yep, that's him from Office Space, Norberg. Norberg or
Lumberg?
Lumberg.
Yeah.
Norberg is a naked gun.
Naked gun, yeah.
All right, OJ. So Lumberg and just a spot on Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch movies.
I will never not watch those movies when I pass them and they're on. And his performance is so good.
It's dead on.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone is pitch perfect.
Yep. And he was also in Entourage. And he's actually in a lot of movies.
Shelley Long as Florence Henderson was excellent.
He's in Line of Fire as well.
Yes,
he's,
yeah.
He's 62 today. Moon Bloodgood.
Yes, I met her in person.
Did you really?
Yeah, she was in Falling Skies. She was it was a press junket.
Oh, okay.
Very lovely. She was a Lakers girl, and I asked her how often Jack Nicholson hit on her, and she said quite often.
Wow. she's 43 today.
Yeah.
And then the Italian bombshell, Sophia Loren.
Wow.
Is 84 years old.
Always loved Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
She was in the second Grumpy Old Men, right?
Yes, she was. And I actually have a Grumpy Old Men story coming up.
How about that?
Really?
How about that?
And we didn't even rehearse this.
All right, so let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And a cackle is a group of what type of animal? And I will go to the phones and get Leanne on the line. Hi, Leanne. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Leanne, what is a cackle a group of? What type of animal?
A hyena?
Hyenas.
Hyenas. Yeah. That makes sense. Cackling bastards.
Hang on a second, Leanne. We are going to give you a $50 Visa gift card from The Joint Chiropractic, and you can join Jackie Bam Bam in full Mummers Ensemble for the grand opening of The Joint Chiropractic, and that's on Westchester Pike in Newtown Square. And that'll be this Saturday from noon to 2. The licensed chiropractors from The Joint will be giving away free adjustments, plus other great prizes. So come and join Jackie at a chiropractor.
Chiropractor!
Yeah, he'll... I'm sure he'll have some fun with
that. Can you adjust through stretch pants?
All right, so we'll start with Meghan Markle. She may be living the life of a princess over at Kensington Palace, but not all of Prince Harry's friends are welcoming her with open arms.
Really? Who's being the holdout?
Well, according to Lady Colin Campbell, who is a confidant of Princess Diana, she tells the Daily Beast that her politics are an issue.
Really?
She said, yes, she is ultra-liberal and that trendy lefty stuff does not go down well with some of Harry's friends.
But what's she doing?
One of the biggest issues is hunting.
She loves to go hunting.
No, she doesn't.
She's a killer.
Yes.
Yeah. She just returned from a baby seal clubbing expedition.
Yeah. And she doesn't even eat the game or anything.
She just burns it. Yeah. Hey, you pick that up. There's a dead polar bear in the hallway. Get rid of it.
No, apparently, according to Lady Colin Campbell.
Lady Colin Campbell.
He had. Yes.
I like the way that sounds.
Okay.
Say it again.
Lady Colin Campbell.
I love it.
He has introduced her to them all at parties and weddings and private dinners, but she is very anti a lot of things that their world functions upon.
And she figures they need to know that.
Such as shooting.
Okay.
And she figures they need to know that?
Does she prefer that they... So her thing is she would prefer that they strangle them.
Oh. Yes. Oh. Yeah. I mean, because it's not really, it's not sport if you're using a gun.
And she's right.
Or a bow and arrow or a knife.
Right. Strangle that.
Strangle them. I get it.
Campbell says that everybody discovers after marrying into the royal family how solitary and arduous an existence it can be.
Yeah.
Meghan has already begun to discover this. Another source tells the Daily Beast that Markle hasn't received many visitors, and when she's spotted in public, she's usually alone.
She doesn't have the girls over?
No. This source says that there never seems to be anyone with her except a cop following at a discreet distance. She does not seem unhappy, but she does not. But she does seem very solitary.
This sounds like the kind of Lifetime movie Danica McKellar would be in.
No.
She befriends the butler, or maybe there was some of the house staff. There's a good-looking guy who delivers the water, Preston.
Yep.
Meanwhile, it seems that even Prince Harry is intimidated by the Queen. In a new trailer for HBO's Queen of the World documentary, Harry says everyone panics when she pops up.
She's the queen.
Exactly. Harry cheerfully advises assembled staff by saying, if you suddenly bump into her in the corridor, don't panic. And then he laughs and adds, I know you will. We all do.
What do I make you laugh?
Like a clown?
Like a clown? No, I'm just saying you have a very jocular sense of humor. Like what? Like, how do I make you laugh? Like a clown? Am I funny? Am I like a clown?
I entertain you?
I got you, son of a bitch! Pussy!
She's constantly between mind apps.
Oh, man.
Joe Pesci. Oh, my God. That's great.
I don't know about you. You'd probably sweat in the torture.
The film includes behind-the-scenes footage of the royal life, including the Queen, Prince Charles and Camilla, Princess Anne, Prince William and Catherine, the Countess of Wessex, Prince Harry and Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex.
So have we made arrangements? I know, Kathy, you've been working on it. Is it 50-50 that the Queen's coming out to our broadcast?
50-50, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's actually pretty difficult. They don't take any emails. You have to call to speak to, whoever represents them. And they each have their own PR person, basically.
Of course,
so you have to talk to somebody different for each person in the family.
All right, so maybe we just get there a little early and knock up at the castle.
Sure.
You know?
Come on. We've been offered tours, not of where they live, but of different castles. I'm like,
well, you can do that.
Any
travel junket will provide that.
Yeah.
Look at our special consideration.
We've been offered
stand
tours.
In a line of 3,000 people. Yeah. Would you like to come stand in a line of 4,500 other tourists? We'll make special provision that you can stand in the same line with them.
HBO's Queen of the World documentary will be out on October 1st, by the way.
How could you not be impressed, though? You watch the series on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. So Marissa sent me this tweet yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Kylie Jenner.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Has made a life-changing food decision.
Is she okay?
She's okay. All In fact, right. She's pretty happy now.
She has a good family, yep. And they're very tight, very mm-hmm. supportive.
She is now, and hold on to your hats here, folks. Okay. She is now eating cereal with milk.
Oh! Wow.
Okay.
With milk.
Why the decision?
She has a kid now.
She has not revealed the details. Okay. She's playing that close to the vest right now, right. Kathy. But
she doesn't want to appear slutty.
On Twitter, she shared by writing, "Last night, I had cereal with milk for the first time. Life-changing.
Amaze balls."
Yeah, exactly.
This does raise, though, the question. We've talked about this. And it is one of those things. I have no doubt that she has never had cereal without milk because we had Chuck in here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Never. You know, had never eaten fruit.
Fruit.
Right.
Fruit.
Fruit.
A basic human consuming product.
You have to go out of your way to
a baby.
Right. You have to go out of your way to avoid eating fruit. If you just walk around with your mouth open, fruit's going to end up in it.
Yeah. Somehow or another, will fall in a berry or something or the other.
Well, and like if your kid won't eat, you're like, okay, fine. But if you have an apple, then okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But cereal without milk ever.
So it turns out she has long been a fan of cereal, especially the amazing Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Mm-hmm. I agree with her on that.
But that it never seemed to occur to her to add milk. She said,
"Well, what about her idiot parents? Like, you know?"
She said, "I always like cereal dry. I never bothered to put milk in it." But going along with the with the fruit thing and Chuck, Tom Brady recently ate his first strawberry on the late night show with Stephen Colbert. So
we might need to revisit this.
Yeah, maybe
because
we'll
it blows my mind. So I was simultaneously disgusted and driven to the point of projectile vomiting over this tweet getting so much interest. But then again, we do know for a fact that there are people who to me, I'm amazed at how you can slalom through life and avoid things that just by happenstance would happen to
you. We might have to talk about that later. Yeah. I remember years past we talked about things that people had never done, like somebody had never, I think somebody had called in and said they'd never made a sandwich before.
What about the woman who lived locally and never been to the KOP?
Yeah.
I've never flown in a private jet ever, and I'm 43 years old.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's sad.
See if I can make that happen.
All right, moving on. At the 2018 Emmy Awards Governor's Ball, John Oliver spilled the beans to the people that he and his wife, Kate Norley, welcomed a baby 3 months ago. Nobody knew about it. He had never made an announcement or anything along those lines. Oliver won an outstanding Variety Talk Series Award for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and he confessed that he didn't know where he'd put it. He said, "I have no idea. We have a three-month-old, so as far away from the three-month-old as possible."
What's the rule? Do you normally wait till the first semester, right?
For what?
In college before you announce you're expected.
Right. Oh, just want to be sure.
Just want to be sure.
Actually, it's after the first trimester.
Oh, not the first semester.
The pair also share a 2-year-old son, and he says that despite being tired, having two is pretty awesome. He said it's bewildering and exhausting juggling that and the show, but no, it's the greatest. And what are the babies? Hobbies and interests? He said sleeping, crapping, and crying in perfect rotation.
Let me ask you something. So I have not gone through it. Maybe the closest I've been is taking care of baby kittens. And they aren't humans, from what I'm told. So, but when you are in that early stage, when the baby's like that, how sleep deprived do you get?
My wife was very sleep
deprived. Yeah, my wife was very sleep deprived.
It's pretty, it's a zombie-like
state,
state, because you get up and you methodically go over and you get the child and you change the diaper, do what needs to be done, or console and feed.
Right.
And then you might be awake. Then you might stay awake at 2 o'clock in the morning for a little while. Eventually, you're not off.
Well, because you're worried.
The baby gets back up again. Well, there's another thing, Steve, where you might wake up and just go, I need to go see if the baby's breathing.
Is the baby breathing?
Is the baby breathing? Because there's a fear that you will walk by that crib and the child is dead. It's horrible to
I know, but it does happen. It freaks you out.
All the time. Yeah. And dads, I did all the time. I'm like, my God, if I go by there and that child is not alive, it'll be the worst thing that's ever happened to me. And it's a legitimate fear.
I think like it might have even been last year when Jace was six. I was like, he's sleeping really late. And I like went in and put my head next to him just to make sure that he's breathing. But, you know, and a lot of times they just, moms will sleep whenever the baby sleeps. So even if it's the middle of the day, it's the only time they can get, you know, a little nap in is when the babies are sleeping.
And Rochelle was a trooper because we do this show and we have to be awake and entertaining and all that. She did all the overnight stuff.
And she was breastfeeding. Right?
All three kids. No, she didn't breastfeed.
Oh, okay.
No, we had to bottle feed because, believe it or not, those things couldn't produce, and some women have a hard time producing. Doesn't matter how big they are. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know.
She tried.
Yeah, she tried, absolutely, with all three
of them. She could wet nurse a buffalo.
So, anyway.
I'll tell you this, though. Having been exhausted, I hear it from so many, you know, mothers, there is a level of exhaustion that you can scarcely imagine. But that nature kicks in. Yeah. And allows you to function even if you may not be aware of what you're doing.
I couldn't even pretend to say, oh, yeah, I was so sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Because my wife did it all. You know?
So did Michelle.
All the overnight stuff my wife took.
But I understand that waking up in the terror of them thinking, oh, my God, are my Batman statues still here?
And
they are. I'll go and check. I don't want to wake them up.
You know they're okay, but you got to get up there.
I got to go check. Sometimes I'll put a mirror in front of their faces.
So Burt Reynolds has been laid to rest in a private funeral in Florida. The 82-year-old Boogie Nights star died Thursday, September 6th. He had cardiac arrest. The funeral was reportedly held in West Palm Beach at Family Church on Wednesday. His ex-girlfriend, Sally Field, was among the attendees.
I think he was born and raised in Jupiter, right? That's his home in Florida.
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I think that's where he's from, so... lifelong Floridian.
Reynolds, the last movie star, co-star Todd Vitam, performed the eulogy, and Avery Summers sang Amazing Grace, and his Smokey and the Bandit 2 co-star Patrick Moody delivered the closing prayer. These are names that I don't really know.
Was Ariel Winter there? Because she was in, I think, the second to last movie he appeared in Modern Family.
These are the only names that I saw. There may have been others, Steve, but those are the only ones in this particular report. So they
By the way,
the great Burt Reynolds.
I did watch Cannonball Run
the
day after he had passed away. And guess what? It holds up.
It holds up?
It holds up.
Still a fun movie?
Listen, yes, sometimes they make a transformation into, you know, kitschy fun or nostalgic fun, but they're still fun.
Yep. So People magazine is reporting that Kim Kardashian will stay put in La La Land when her husband Kanye West moves to Chicago.
Wow, yes. He's serious about moving to Chicago.
Yeah, he announced a return to Chi-Town this week. Kardashian reportedly wants to stay put with North Saint and Chicago, the kid.
You know what?
Chicago.
You break a story about Kanye West, call it a poopity scoop.
Right. I got a poopity scoop for you. A source says she thinks it's best for the kids to continue their schedule in L.A. North is in school and everything is working great. Kim doesn't
it's
think
just great.
Kim doesn't think a permanent move to Chicago benefits the kids.
Poopity scoop.
Yep, I have a poopity scoop for you.
Whoopity scoop de poop. Whoopity scoop de scoop de whoop.
Why is he moving to Chicago?
He's from Chicago.
I know. But
he is. He also has he's sort of been on a mission. This is what I've heard him say or read him say. That he would like to plug back in and see if he can start making a positive change in Chicago.
Poopity scoop.
And it's the poopity scoop clause.
Chicago!
So,
Chicago!
Kim doesn't think a permanent move would be good. Also, Kim wants to be around her family as much as possible, too. She loves their new house, and it finally feels like a home to her.
My new house.
So there's your
She's got a butt room in it, you remember.
That's right. So that's your poopity scoop.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop.
Or scoop-dee-dee-whoop.
Yeah, which is the follow-up.
Let me see here. I have a whole bunch of stuff, and I don't have enough
time
to get to all of it.
Just keep going.
Well, I don't have enough time to get all of it, but how about this? Magician Shin Lim was crowned winner of America's Got Talent 13 season last night, edging out acrobat dance outfit Zircaro, who came in second place, and electric violinist Brian King Joseph.
So these are all, and the nature of the show is really, they're like all Vegas-style entertainers.
Yeah, and by the way, I think the Struts performed on that show last
Kiss
night.
Kiss did.
Did they?
That's what I was reading in the recap.
They announced their kind of farewell tour again.
It's going to be incredible.
Last night. I'll get
By
to
the
that.
Way, kudos to that electric violinist.
I'll get to Riveting. That in music news. The 26-year-old becomes a second magician to win America's Got Talent after Matt Franco, who took out the ninth seed, who won then the ninth season.
That's incredible. That's exactly the card I selected.
It's from a deck of Kiss cards.
Unbelievable.
By the way. Canada-born...
It's the ace freely of spades.
He's here all night, folks.
Waka waka.
Imagine standing
for my
Jinx
next trick. I'll literally remove my own face.
He developed, Canada-born Massachusetts-based Lim initially pursued piano but changed careers due to illness. He developed his sleight-of-hand talents from watching YouTube. And
how does a piano get sick?
Performed his routines around the world. A master of close-up magic, Lim collects $1 million and a headlining slot at the Paris Theater at Paris, Las Vegas next month. So,
you know, entertainers that we are... sort of peripherally aware of become incredibly wealthy. Wayne Newton had a decades career
in Vegas. Gans.
Yes. Wayne Newton, to go back to, had a train that ran around his property.
Yeah.
That's how sprawling it was.
If you can just dig in and the, you know, people are looking for things to do in Vegas and they will come to your show if you have a big marquee and a name. And you just dig in and you stay there, and it's a great gig because it's like a 9-to-5 almost. You don't have to travel around. You live in that town, and boom. So,
and if you're doing a residency over a long period of time, sometimes the hotel will put you up in like the presidential suite for the run.
Yeah.
So it's a, you're right about that, Danny. What's his last name?
Danny Gann.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a lounge guy kind of.
Yeah.
He's dead though, right?
I don't know.
Moment of silence.
He was run over by Wayne Newton's train.
We just had a moment of silence
we did.
For him.
Yeah. For Danny Gans.
So sorry for the loss. Yeah.
Danny Gans?
Gans. I just remember seeing his face on billboards when I was there. Yeah, I was like,
he died like a decade ago.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Preston, though, as a testament, still packs him in.
Yeah. Even after being run over by Wayne Newton's train? Danny Gans.
Died in 2009. I was in Vegas for a wedding. Years ago, so prior to 2003.
Thanks for coming, man.
Yeah. Elvis was the
there you go.
What do you call that person?
The officiant.
Yeah, the officiant. Go ahead, Preston. Okay. Back to you.
Danny Gans.
We will be missed.
Here's the thing I mentioned earlier. New Line has attached Eddie Murphy to star and Tim Story to direct and produce an untitled comedy inspired by the hit Walter Matthau Jack Lemmon comedy, Grumpy Old Men. We were just talking about that. Sophia Loren's birthday today, and she was in the second movie. So Eddie Murphy and somebody else in Grumpy Old Men, possibly.
That could be very... Who would you pair him up with? You know, he worked very well with Arsenio.
I know
Arsenio's not a marquee name at this time.
The name that's being thrown around is Samuel L. Jackson, who could be great.
Well, they were in a movie together once before, too, weren't
they?
Yeah,
Coming to America, he robbed the McDowell's.
Yeah,
you're right.
That's the fifth guy this guy's hit this place. Something tells me I don't think he's going to be coming back again.
My African connection.
That was one of his first roles, actually, Samuel L. Jackson. He was intimidating in it. But that's a name that's being thrown around, so I'm not sure. Story has directed 8 studio features, and he became the first African-American director to gross the $1 billion mark in global grosses. This was before Ryan Coogler hit that mark with Black Panther. And he was behind movies like Ride Along and the sequel and Think Like a Man and its sequel, and did Fantastic Four and A Barbershop and so on and so forth. So.
All right.
So maybe. We'll see. During the New York premiere of Assassination Nation, actress Suki Waterhouse said she actually shot someone during the process of filming.
Suki is Bradley Cooper's current or ex-girlfriend.
I don't know if they're still a thing or not. Steve.
All right.
But I do remember at one point, yes.
Suki!
So she said, I heard somebody. She told the audience, according to Page Six, the bullet ricocheted. They hadn't seen that in 20 years. The bullet came back at the guy and hurt him. Waterhouse added that they had about an hour of firearms training beforehand.
So they were training and practicing at an actual range because they tend not to use live ammo on a set.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It says she shot someone during the process of filming.
Okay.
So I don't know what they were doing.
Ex-girlfriend of Bradley Cooper. He's currently dating Irina Shayk.
All right. Okay.
The Kelly Clarkson Show is set to debut in the fall of next year.
Now, I'm going to guess this is a talk show, but with a difference.
She will serve as the lead-in to Ellen on NBC.
Wow.
And it will replace Steve Harvey's talker, Steve
Casey's.
Oh, man.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
It's going to replace that? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody hear that little giggle?
He's very happy. He hates the...
Oh, I can't stand it.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
But Kelly Clarkson will replace that. We don't know what's going to happen to Steve, the show. But that's been on the air for 7 seasons.
Here's the deal. There's a very precarious set of skills, a la Taken, that you need to really make a talk show run. Simply being likable, a la Harry Connick... Right. And talented,
right.
Won't get it done. No. So we'll see.
Yeah, you can be a wonderfully good looking and talented actor.
Yeah,
but not be able to pull off what it takes to do a talk show.
Ellen comes with the ability to do comedic skits, have fun moments,
anything.
Yep. It's like being conduct an interview.
Conduct an interview.
You know,
you can be the lead singer of a popular '80s band and a rock band, and not be a good talk show host in the morning.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
LeBron James has confirmed reports that he is set to star in a Space Jam sequel, taking over for Michael Jordan. Production is set to begin filming on Space Jam 2 next year with a release date to be announced.
Well, you would...
No.
I was not a fan of Space Jam.
Oh, I hated it.
I am a Looney Tunes fan. I didn't like the way those characters were in the movie.
I can't stand their voices.
Yeah.
Like, all of it.
It was not good.
The Hollywood Reporter confirmed hints from James's entertainment company that Ryan Coogler, the producer behind Marvel's Black Panther, has signed on to bring the Looney Tunes concept to life again.
What they should do is Panther Jam.
Director Panther Jam?
Yeah, with the Wakandans instead of Looney Tune characters.
I like it. Director Terrence Nance has also agreed to run the show. The original Space Jam, by the way, is the highest grossing basketball movie of all time.
Wow.
And featured cameos of NBA stars at the time, such as Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing.
Did have Bill Murray in it. He was good. He was basically playing Bill. I think he was Bill Murray.
I couldn't tell you anything about
it. You know what? It skipped a generation. And so if you grew up, Steve, as a purist with Looney Tunes, like you did and I did, it did not appeal to you. But people who were kids when it came out, they loved it.
There was a second one made.
Yeah, it was terrible as well.
Yeah, it was horrible.
All right, and then one last story. Sorry. The Big Bang Theory star Johnny Galecki is going public with his romance to Elena Mayer. He's 43. She's 21.
Yeah, I was looking at pictures of them together. Of course, she towers over him. He's
tiny.
A little guy.
Yeah.
But
I never heard of her. Is she a model?
I looked her up. She could be. She's sort of, you know, statuesque and curvy.
He posted a shot of them together on Instagram, captioning it, "Last night was wonderful. Thank you, Jeffrey Katzenberg." I don't know why. They've been popping up in each other's social media feeds since
summer. Because he bought her for...
Oh, is that what happened?
I want that one.
They went to vacation. They vacationed together in the Bahamas. And this was the most overt declaration of their romance status, though.
They were at some sort of fashion show, and they were watching it together. And he was up on her shoulder so he could see. It was really nice.
That is adorable.
It's adorable.
I love it.
Yeah, and he's considerate too. When he's drinking his juice up there, he uses a sippy cup
so he doesn't spill anything. Yeah, I understand that. Okay, we're ready for clips here. The show Snowfall covers the drop in cocaine prices in Los Angeles in the 1980s and how that affected society. Here's show creator John Singleton talks about covering a huge turning point for the city.
It's such a huge, huge canvas to talk about how the drugs changed first L.A., but also America.
Velociraptor.
A new episode of Snowfall airs tonight, 10 o'clock on FX. Here's the next clip. The house with a clock in its walls gives a fun look at magic with Jack Black playing an eccentric warlock. Here Jack talks about what drew him to this role. Here we go.
A jazz saxophone enthusiast. You know, I'm a musical guy, and that was an instrument I've never played before, so I was excited for that musical challenge. And I just thought it was funny. It struck a chord in me. This saxophone playing warlock, it just sounds like a part I want to play.
What the f*** is this?
The house with a clock in its walls will be in theaters tomorrow, and Jack just got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, and this, I believe, is directed by Tim Burton, so he's
handy
with that kind of stuff.
We'll have that twist to it.
Yeah.
The Tim Burton flair. And there you go. That's what I got for you, folks.
Damn good.
Entertainment report today. We have several things going on. We have a chance to win with MMR's birthday bucks in a little while. We'll get to that in less than an hour. So have yourself set to receive the word and pass it along via our app and our website. And maybe you might win $1,000. We also have another chance for you to win. We are doing a contest with Acme this morning. We're calling it the Acme 500, and it's a pricing game, friends. Yes, as we speak on our social media accounts, you'll see a picture of several items that Marissa went to her local Acme and purchased, and you have to give us the price without going over. And the people who come the closest to the nearest dollar without going over might win a $100 gift card to Acme. We have five of them to give away, so the Acme 500 is what we're calling it.
Is that bok choy in there?
We got bok choy for you, Kathy. Right. She hates bok choy.
There's another issue there, Preston. Two of my favorites, the Acme parfaits and the Acme chocolate chip cookies.
I saw those. Well, fortunately, the pictures have already been taken.
You can eat it.
You can eat it.
Parfait. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You can eat it. So what you need to do is take a look at it. You need to text us the word Acme plus the total amount, the nearest dollar that you think that is. If we get somebody who nails it, if there are a lot of people that nail it, the exact amount, then we will draw five of those randomly and we would give those prizes.
That's how it works.
Yep.
So what you just said is important, Preston, because we don't want people texting that information or posting that information on social media itself. It won't do you any good. You can't win that way.
Right.
And you're spoiling your guest by doing it. Just send in the text.
Text it to 39333
right.
is what you need to do. So don't do it on the social media account, all right? And it says it right on there. Acme plus a dollar amount to 39333. So good luck to you. One to entry per person. We'll get a winner a little bit later on in the program. We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with some guests, too. I'll tell you about them when we return.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Yes.
WMMR.
So
everything that rocks. Yes, it was Casey at the end there. Baba O'Reilly from The Who with a perfect little wrap up here. I'll play that one more time, Casey.
Yes.
It's perfect.
That's so great.
Yeah.
We now have it isolated. A little giggle from Casey. It was cute.
Hi, I'm Alexa. Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
You bastard!
Yes.
All right. Real quick, Kathy, we have these two lovely ladies on our hottie cam, and I forgot to jot their names down.
I know, I forgot to write it down for you. I'm sorry. It's Angelina and Angelica.
Angelina and Angelica.
There we go. That should be easy to remember.
Studio hottie cam looking lovely. Lovely, lovely.
The fine young women and very wonderful.
That is correct. So take a look because they're sharing the stuff on the webcam, maybe some social media accounts, and you never know. You never know. You could become friends. I don't know.
Yeah, man, who knows?
Who knows? So we have a couple of things that are going on. Speaking of social media, we have the Acme 500 that's taking place. It's a pricing game, ladies and gentlemen. We have $500 worth of Acme gift cards giveaway. Five separate winners, and very simple. We're doing this Price is Right style. So Marissa has gone to Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. She bought a whole bunch of items. She brought the receipt back with her, and we have taken a picture of said items, and all you have to do is take a look at our social media account, try to figure out the nearest dollar amount as to what she spent without going over, and you send that over to us via a text. So you have to go to our Instagram, our Twitter, or Facebook page, and also PrestonandSteve.com. You can see that. And then text the price. Do you text the word Acme and then the price, the dollar amount?
Yes.
All right, have a space between those two to 39333, and then sit back and wait. Now, we will choose five of the closest guesses who don't go over. If we get more than five guesses that are exactly correct, we will randomly choose those and give you a $100 Acme gift card, one guess per person, and We'll see if you can get it. I nailed it. I got it exactly to the dollar on my first guess.
That's impressive.
So it was I went with my gut.
You saw Marissa's face was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Did I F up?
Nah,
did I leave the receipt out?
I'm just that good.
You do all the shopping though. You do most of it, right?
I do it.
Food shopping?
I do a fair amount of shopping.
All right.
Yeah.
There was something I was looking for at the table, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I did not see anything, any potted meat. Did you guys?
Oh, no, there's potted meat in there. Yeah. I don't want to indicate what it is, but it's definitely in there.
Okay.
Go to the right of the table on top of the SpaghettiOs.
And the reason we got potted meat is because Bill told us potted meat is funny.
Bill knows funny.
And also,
Bill
he called it funny. Potted meat.
Yeah, well, there is potted meat.
I know.
There are things like
Funniest food stuff.
There's canned meats, and then there's potted meat, which is kind of like this. It's all the crap that's left over. It's basically mushed up Vienna sausages.
Next to the can of springy snakes, potted meat.
God, we used to eat Vienna sausages when I was a kid. Like, crazy. I know they sound nasty, right?
No,
and they would probably be disgusting if I had them now.
No,
I just eat them right out of the can.
I would too.
Yeah,
I mean,
take a fork. Or just boom. Go in there with my fingers.
Yeah. Rub it all over your face.
Let's talk about things that we haven't eaten before because there's a revelation that Kylie Jenner made on Twitter yesterday.
Yes, this made the news.
She had never had cereal with milk. And, of course, she's got a gazillion followers, so it's all a buzz on the internet.
Yeah. By the way, what was the cereal she mentioned was...
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Which is a great cereal.
And she had never thought to add milk, and she did, and she loved it. And she said, quote, life-changing, I believe. Is that what she wrote?
Yes.
Yes, life-changing. Now, it's easy to poke fun at this.
Yes.
You know, because here you go, a gal who has grown up in the lap of luxury.
Calabasas.
And come on. I think they can afford some milk, but she'd never done it before. But then, as you put it, Steve, you know, our own Chuck D'Amico had never, until a few years ago, we did this on the air, had never had fruit before. And as you put it, if you just walk around with your mouth open, eventually it's going to end up in your mouth.
Certain fruits.
Randomly, fruit will end up in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, he would eat bananas and stuff like that, but there was a lot of things where he's like, eh.
Like a strawberry.
No, yes. He had never had
a strawberry.
Strawberries, melons, pineapples, all this. Never had a vast variety of fruits.
And common fruit.
He and I will go out to lunch quite a bit, you know, at least once or twice a month. And our lunch selections are very, very limited. He does not want to try new things. It's frustrating. Well, it's really, really
sometimes
frustrating.
Sometimes, I think in a lot of cases, a lot of these things just fall through the cracks. I don't even know if Kylie Jenner, and I think I know Kylie Jenner pretty well at this point, if she was actively not having milk with it. She was just introduced to the cereal and liked it that way.
Yes.
So it can be both ways. It can be that you're actively looking not to have it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these are things that just by the natural progression of a human life, it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, because, listen, at a certain point, you start making your own choices as to what you want to eat. Early on, that choice to not have cereal milk was her parents or nannies or whoever was taking care of her.
Or OJ's. Friend of the family, who, lest we remind you, cut two people's heads off.
Yes.
So what I'm curious of, people listening, is what fairly common food have you never had? Because, like, I think it was last year, I'd never actually actively eaten escargot. And because it just seemed gross to me to eat snails. That's a little on the exotic
side. Yeah, that's
right.
Okay, so that's what we don't want. What have you never...
Like a Latvian tongue sandwich.
What have you never had or just recently had for the first time in your life?
A common thing.
Yeah. 215-263-WMMR is the number.
Now, I don't think it's bizarre because it's been my entire life, but, like, I don't eat seafood, and I've tried a few things, but, like, lobster to me looks delicious. But I don't eat it, and I've never, ever tried it.
You've never tasted it.
You've had enough seafood to where you just go, you know what? That group, I'm just not, it's not going to happen.
Well,
right?
I don't know. I mean, I consider it, I've had enough. I've never ordered anything or have it prepared where it's my meal and I'm like, at the end of it, oh, you know what? I really don't like that. I'm not going to get that again. Like, I've tasted a piece of shrimp.
Okay.
I've tasted a piece of crab. And no, it's not for me. I don't like it.
So here's the delineation, I think, with this also. In this case, Preston, with the Kylie Jenner thing and the cereal, it'd be like you eating lobster all your life and never dipping it in butter.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay. You know, like you would never... Like,
that's how you eat it.
Right? You know, like, it just... It's like, what?
Yeah.
It just goes hand in hand.
Right.
You know?
Right. They give it to you.
Right.
It's presented that way.
I just don't do that.
Yeah. So let me go to some calls. I'm going to go to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Sorry to bother you. Does it work?
It's okay.
It's all right, Sharon. What's up?
All right. So the list is probably shorter on the things that I have eaten than have it, but I've never had a tomato, tuna fish, honeydew, cantaloupe. I just tried mac and cheese for the first time ever.
Okay.
There's a lot there.
Give us your experience of mac and cheese for the first time ever. How old are you, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
I will be 41 in November.
41. Never had mac and cheese. So do it. Do tell us what that mac and cheese experience was like.
So a couple years ago, I started a blog called Picky Eater Eats.
Picky Eater. Okay.
I'm the pickiest eater. Like, I don't even let my food touch on the plate. I'm very weird.
Yeah. All right.
So I took a survey about where the best mac and cheese was, and there was a place in Philly that came up, so I went there. It was good. It's not something I'm ever going to put in my mouth again, but it was decent.
So listen, here's what I have found about mac and cheese. I like it cooked, baked well. I like it crispy. I like the edges. And mac and cheese was something that took a long while to try. In fact, if I had dismissed mac and cheese on the first few experiences, I would never have allowed it back into my life. But I have, and we've become lovers. So it's really good. So sometimes, you know, your first experience may not be indicative of what is out there in the mac and cheese world.
Yeah, but mac and cheese is one of those things that a lot of people will eat no matter what.
Even if they don't like it.
Not even if they don't like it, but I mean, it's macaroni and cheese. It's cheese.
Simple.
Pasta.
Yeah,
it's simple.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like eating air.
It's a generic food.
Yeah.
That most people have grown up eating, and it was our go-to munchy food.
Well, but like, it was so easy. Mac and cheese was like, that's why I'm surprised. You've never had it before. It's just it's
everywhere.
It's in every pantry.
It's in school lunches. Yeah. Right. I mean, so
no, but
go ahead.
I've had baked ziti, which is pasta with cheese.
And you're right there.
My pasta.
All right.
Right on the edge of it.
You're flirting with the devil. How do you avoid tomatoes all your life?
I've had ketchup and I've had tomato sauce, but I've never had.
So you've had the byproducts.
Do you like those?
I do like ketchup, and I do like tomato sauce. I've also never had mayo or mustard.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Interesting. So you got to...
What?
I get, like, mad at people. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know you, but, like, I'm mad at you.
This doesn't sound like the giggling fool we heard earlier.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yes. But you know what? Like, it's like Chuck. It's like, come on, man.
No, see,
like,
okay, and I have to defend Chuck,
Sharon.
Because for somebody who doesn't eat a specific food group, it is the most annoying thing. I am 40 years old. I have made the decision. I don't like seafood. Why do you have to try to convince me that I need to eat it? I don't.
I don't get that. And I completely understand that. You just worry about what you like. And if it's good for you, enjoy it. But why you're trying to convert someone.
Like, it's so annoying.
I'll tell you exactly why. It's because people like spreading joy. And so if I find joy in it, I know where you're coming from. Believe me. And it can be a giant pain in the ass. But I think the impetus behind it is I like this so much. I want you to experience the pleasure that I'm getting from this. Please try it. And the reason that it gets frustrating is the only reason you're not, from the perception is, the only reason you're not trying it is that you're being stubborn, not that you don't want to try it.
And I guess from a personal, my personal point of view is over the years, my tastes have changed.
Yeah,
there are things
totally.
That I absolutely hated as a kid or a teenager.
Yes.
And then I tried them again years later and I realize I love this. Not only do I just kind of like it, I like this a lot. And so it opens up a whole new world.
Well, you just, now listen, when you were a kid, you hated it, but now you put paste all over your steaks.
All over.
You just love it.
Hey, Kath, so that girl in particular, it's not like she doesn't like a particular food group. She was all over the map with the things that she won't try. And it's not like, mustard and ketchup are two totally different tastes. And I think she might have
that tastes great together.
Mayo, and you know, so like
it does.
So when Nick tells me that he doesn't like pickles and olives and stuff like that, it's like, well, listen, I know that I don't care about that. Like,
well, because I've tried them.
You've tried them, and you know, but like,
you actually get angry
when you won't even try
it. That's what annoys me. The people that actually get angry over it.
Get angry. I think you just as I think eventually. If you're combative about it and try to force it on somebody, they're not going to do it. I'm right in the same camp with the seafood thing. Was a big detractor, and then casually by happenstance, without somebody going, you gotta try it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was out and there was a cooked over an open flame, freshly caught salmon, And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's what it tastes like. And now I love salmon.
And taste buds do change. And I agree with you, Preston. I've had certain things in my life that I've added to my diet because, you know, as a kid, didn't like them and like them now. I just can't get, like, if that woman doesn't want mustard and ketchup, I don't care. I'm not going to try to convince her to try it.
I think I'm mad at Chuck, Kathy, and that's what's going on here. Is my
he rebuffs your advances.
My lunch options are so limited
because
he's unwilling. He's unwilling. And so there was a new restaurant that we opened up into, like, our tiny little area that we go to. And he had, like, one thing that he didn't
and
care
he hates
for there.
It,
and
right?
now we don't go there anymore. The other day, dude.
They're about to go out to lunch, and Chuck just goes, "We're not going to that goddamn naff-naff place."
Yeah. But he didn't hate naff-naff. He didn't hate it.
He just found one item he didn't like.
He just didn't love it. So now it's like, okay, all right, let's go. And nothing against Taco Bell, but let's go to Taco Bell again.
Right.
Again.
So here's what I want to hear. People, you won't even try it. You haven't even tried it. Not that you won't. You just haven't tried it, okay? Because I think that's part of it, Casey. Mm-hmm. You're upset because the woman, at least she never had it in her life. At least put a little bit on your tongue and see what you think about it. Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks,
buddy. What's up?
Not much. I've never had an egg form in my life.
You've never had an egg in egg form, though you know that you've had baked goods and things that have eggs in them.
And that's why I phrase it that way.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So what's been the hesitation?
Pork fried rice.
What's been the hesitation, Mike?
The look, the smell, just nothing about it appeals to me.
Okay. So I can understand the smell. If you smell something,
like farts.
That's your first indicator that you won't like something, if it doesn't smell good to you, or if it smells... If it has an adverse effect.
So may I suggest something? Because I think it's all about the point of entry here, Mike. I agree with you. Initially, at the my father would eat runny egg. My wife loves to eat. Basically, she chews into a living chicken. That's what she does. So, I mean, runny and all that whole deal. When I first started having eggs, it was well-cooked scrambled eggs. Mm-hmm. And that to me was – and I love scrambled eggs. I love them well-cooked. Have you not even that? That has no appeal to you.
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all.
And will you ever try one?
I don't know. What are you guys going to offer me?
Well, here's the deal.
Offer you.
At your open coffin wake, I promise to come up and gently put a hard boiled egg into your mouth.
I don't know.
So that's one of the things where you would say, as a kid, like, didn't your parents make you scrambled eggs? But Jace will not eat eggs. He won't. Touch it. He hates them. He won't eat any type.
Who's cooking them for him?
But he won't eat any type of egg. Like, I've tried hard-boiled eggs. I've tried scrambled eggs. Like, he just does not like eggs for whatever the reason. I think it's the texture, but he just won't eat it. You know, like, I've tried, and he refuses.
And has he ever had them at all in his mouth before?
I mean, yes, I've made them, and he's taken a bite. Like, even when he was a baby,
he's pushed
it away.
Well,
he doesn't want
at least
it.
He's tried it.
Yeah. But my parents were good about it. They would withhold their love. Until I ate something,
eggs.
Chuck is here.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, man.
Do you realize how you're emotionally tearing Casey apart?
I had no idea.
I had no idea.
Really?
Yes,
yeah.
You did.
Oh, okay.
But he's angry. He's an angry elf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think I figured it out. I think I figured out why I am and where I am. I don't have a relationship with food like a lot of people have.
Okay.
Like you do, Press. Yeah. Like Preston, we've all seen Preston eat.
Yeah.
Preston eats with his eyes closed. Like,
uh-huh.
He's like,
I make noises.
Yeah.
It's pleasurable for you.
Yeah, it really is.
As it should be.
I'm like, oh, God, this is so
good. I only
oh,
eat.
God.
Mm-mm.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh.
He does. You know it's a good sandwich.
He looks at it and he nods at it. You're a good sandwich.
I love food, man.
He's like, look at you. I'm going to get more of you. No, I only eat when I'm hungry. And sometimes I'm very hungry. And when I'm like that, I'm not interested in trying something different. I know what I want. I'm hungry. I need what I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And I don't take like the time in between meals to try other things. That would really be the time to do it.
There's a scalable system that I use with my wife when we go out to dinner and we're going to order things. And she runs it by me. Should I try this? How hungry are you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because
if
you're hungry, you're going to want to have something that's going to satisfy you.
Exactly.
Because if you're 30% hungry, then you can be adventurous.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Because if you order something and you end up not liking it, you've wasted your hunger. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well,
yeah.
And also, so when I tried a shrimp, it ruined my meal. Like, it ruined the rest of the... It was an appetizer, and it ruined the rest of the meal.
Did you bite into the mud vein there?
God.
Which is a poop trail.
That's a whole different story.
It's like eating a cow from the ass forward.
Oh, my God.
It's not exactly like it.
It's exactly like it.
Let me go to some more calls here of people who've never, ever tried it. This is all off of Kylie Jenner. Had
the pundit.
Milk in cereal for the first time ever in her life. I'm going to go to Austin. Hi, Austin. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. All right, what common thing have you never even tried?
So, never tried a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Ooh.
So, this is such a standard, such a staple, such a cafeteria. Now, it used to be, I don't know, with all the peanut allergies and stuff, if it's even allowed in most cafeterias.
But it's still one of the go-to for parents.
One of the great joys of life. Still love them.
My daughter loves Uncrustables.
Toasted bread, peanut butter and jelly. One of the joys.
But
yeah.
Why have you never had one, Austin?
So, when I was younger, I had a texture issue with jelly, so I only ate peanut butter sandwiches.
Okay.
And then I discovered peanut butter and fluff.
Yes.
So I ate those all the way through college, and then I, I'm 25 years old now, and everybody in my work eats Uncrustables, and I still to this day need to try one.
Just to clarify, Austin, the technical name for what you were eating was a fluffer nutter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, you still eat those?
So, fluffer nutter.
Austin.
I still eat them to this day.
You do still eat those. You're okay, gross. So are you hesitant because of the texture of the jelly?
No, so I put jelly on my toast in the morning for breakfast. I just have never put peanut butter and jelly together, and I have never had the urge to do it never been asked to eat one.
Austin, today.
Yes.
Right. Today, make a change. Go and do it. This is a new step for you today. I want you to go have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich today. And there's nothing that can hold you back from doing that. You can just go for it.
It's a new day. Though, if you're very nervous, there are women you can pay.
Yes, there are.
If you're not comfortable or confident, and they will make your sandwich.
You know what, Austin? Go to Panera. They actually have a really great peanut butter and jelly sandwich there.
Okay.
Because if you want to have a really good first peanut butter and jelly sandwich, go to Panera.
He likes the elements. He likes all the elements in it just separately. And that, again, here's a perfect case. Kylie Jenner may be the biggest milk fan in the world and the biggest cereal fan in the world, but has never had them together.
I have a hard time.
Thanks, Austin. Good luck to you.
I have a hard time buying things like that from places like Panera or whatever, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's just so you could just easily make it at home.
Do you know? You know what that? There have been a number of gourmet places. There's one in the KLP food court on the Ritzier side that is a grilled cheese place, and a number of places have done it. And I think a lot of people find it hard to get over that hub. I love those places. There was a company that brought them down to the Canbound for Hunger.
Yeah, the one
they were freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, this is something that's so simple to make. But, you know, it's good.
It's not that. It's so simple to make. And you're also charging me way too much.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I know what you're saying. It's like Kathy said. It's a very common thing that you can make in a heartbeat at home. Yeah. But they might add a little twist to it that makes it even better.
And your home life might be terrible.
Yeah. That too.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. Let me go to, all right, I'll go to Eileen. Hello, Eileen.
Good morning.
Hi, Eileen. Thank you. What common thing have you never even tried at all?
Mayonnaise.
Okay, now.
Even the thought of it.
Mayonnaise, does it seem a little scary to you, the way it looks, the way it smells?
The way it smells, the way it looks. The way it looks like it would feel.
are we saying mayonnaise or mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Okay.
What about mayo chip?
Excuse me?
They have the new mayo chip now, which is mayonnaise and ketchup. It's a new thing.
It's a Heinz product.
Start with mayo first. do you feel that you will go through life without ever trying it?
Absolutely. I have never voluntarily ate anything with mayonnaise. I used to like deviled eggs, so I'm going a little off track.
Okay, so there's a potential there. You're in the consistency level. Do you feel weird when you sit around with the other ladies and they're trading their mayonnaise stories?
No, I quickly switch the conversation.
Oh, you switched, yes.
Mustard.
How about Miracle Whip?
Yeah. Well, you know, here's an interesting, and I'm sure there are a lot of people
Thanks, Eileen.
My little brother does not like mayonnaise. He also doesn't like seafood. However, he loves tuna fish.
Okay.
Well, that's an unholy union of two things he doesn't like.
That's the same thing. I like tuna.
Yeah.
Do you like tuna fish? Mm-hmm. I mean, the tuna fish salad, actually. Yeah.
What about like a tuna steak? You would not have that.
No.
Okay, but tuna fish salad is okay. Do you like mayonnaise? Or you probably don't prefer it, but you'll eat it.
I don't prefer it, but I, yes. Like, I used to take the the tuna in a can and mix it with mustard.
Do you like sushi?
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
She would take the tuna in the can
and just mix it with mustard.
Instead of mayo. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've heard of that, yeah.
Yeah, well, Panera did that. Panera did that, like, Dijon with their...
Well, they put mustard on their tuna fish salad sandwich, which has mayo in it. I mean, it doesn't... It's not strictly mustard. Mm. And by the way, you know what I stay away from? This is a total offshoot of this. is yellow potato salad. Like, if it's, like, that mustard weird bait, I can't stand it.
Don't buy that.
Yeah.
Don't get that. You want it... It's got to be the more creamy look about it, not that the yellow stuff. That's disgusting.
Knock it off.
But that's me. Some people may love it.
Knock it off.
Knock it off.
All right, let's go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, bud. All right, so what common thing you never even tried?
Mushrooms.
Ah, and what is your hesitation on mushrooms?
Everything about them.
Okay.
So it's just literally everything.
All right, it's since you've never, it can't be a texture thing, you've never eaten it, but it's just the way it looks.
I guess it's kind of weird because I love blue cheese, but I'm like, I can't look at a fungus and be like, I'm going to put that on my steak.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I understand. So it's nature alone.
I hear what he's saying. There's some ways that mushrooms are prepared that I just don't like them, but I like them on a hamburger now and then. And there are certain applications, but you're a big mushroom fan.
I love them. I'll eat them.
Yep. You eat them like an apple.
I'll eat them if they're not cooked. I'll eat them, sautéed, whatever. I am a fan of mushrooms. My wife hates them.
Really?
Specifically just because of the texture.
Yeah, me too.
However, she will have things that are mushroom flavored, but if they've got chunks of mushroom in it, she's out.
But like a truffle oil, she likes that.
Oh, God, yes. I love truffle oil.
Yeah, I always get mushrooms in my cheesesteaks. Mushroom cheesesteak.
Mushrooms are good on cheesesteaks. Mm-hmm. I agree. So,
you're
Brian,
the Chuck Yeager of cheesesteaks.
You'll never try one, you think?
Never, ever. It was pushed on me a lot by my parents growing up. They both love them.
Yeah.
Used to cook them in the house all the time. Try to put it in front of me. Just not happening.
Okay.
Oh. So
I say... try something, unless it smells so bad that it makes you, gag a little bit.
You ever eat magic mushrooms by any chance?
Yes, one time.
You woke up in Mexico.
They taste horrible.
Kid
with a sombrero playing with
poop. They grow them in poop. They taste terrible.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Terrible.
Well, you can't really eat them without some help. Like, you need to put them in peanut butter or
something that's... I mean, you can make yourself.
It's not advised to. By the way, don't do drugs.
Right, exactly.
And don't do mustard.
Right, please. Not in your potato salad, anyway. Okay, let me go to Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. What very common thing have you never even tried?
A cup of coffee.
Just a regular cup of coffee. All right.
I feel bad for you.
Any of the peripheral things associated with coffee?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you hit it on the head. I think I remember growing up as a kid, my grandparents, it was always the coffee and cigarettes and just being in their house.
You're a good little boy. Pass the coffee. Why don't you be a sweetheart? Go get Bobby's Camel cigarettes.
Pretty much. So I never, I don't know. And I'm not a big caffeine guy. I don't really drink soda or anything like that. So
interesting. I can't say that you're probably the better off for that, but...
Even when I didn't drink coffee, I did love the aroma of coffee cooked.
You like the way this smells, Preston?
Dan, is the smell of coffee nasty to you?
Yeah, it just doesn't. I mean, it doesn't. I'm not sick to my stomach, anything crazy like that. But, I just don't. It just doesn't appeal to me. It definitely kind of turns me off a little bit.
I love coffee, cappuccino, lattes, the whole damn
deal. Everything. Yeah.
But I'm not a day long coffee guzzler. There's my time in the morning, and then that's it.
Yep. See, I set my coffee timer, right? So when I wake up in the morning, there's a pot of coffee ready. Yeah, I said there's a pot of coffee ready for me. Like, and so, Kathy, I will...
Do you walk out the door with a full pot of coffee?
When I get home from work at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I will put the coffee in then so I don't forget. The smell of coffee. When I wake up in the morning and I have forgotten to set the coffee timer the night before, here you go. It's the smell that reminds me. I'm like, oh no, I'll wake up in the morning.
Oh, my God, I don't smell coffee.
Oh, no, I pissed myself.
It's just like,
you know, I crap the sheets.
And that smell of coffee covers that smell.
Yeah.
Right?
Here are some texts coming in. This person has never had milk before, period. Just like, well, Kylie had milk. She just never had it with cereal. People are saying cottage cheese. Okay, I could see that, maybe. But it's not, it's fairly common, I guess.
Okay, to that, Preston, there are, as people pointed out, a lot of these things have peripheral counterparts where you, in effect, are eating them as ingredients and other things you like.
Yeah. Yep. So somebody who's never had pizza before, how's
pizza
that possible?
Pizza is, I do not get that, and I do not approve.
Well, my friend has never had pizza with cheese on it.
Yeah.
She'll either have tomato pie, or if it's a regular pizza, she pulls the cheese off.
Is she lactose intolerant?
No, she's not. She just doesn't eat cheese on pizza.
There's somebody in here who texted that they've never had bananas. I don't like it. As a baby. It's one of the go-tos.
Right?
How do you not have bananas?
Yeah. Wait, by the way, Kathy, so it's just on pizza that she doesn't like cheese?
Yes.
But she'll have cheese on maybe a hamburger or something else?
You know what? I'm not sure about that. I think so. But I know she's not lactose intolerant. Yeah. She just doesn't like the cheese
My daughter hates
on the
cheese.
Pizza.
Yeah, she won't have cheese on her hoagies, pizza, nothing.
Your daughter doesn't eat peanut butter either, right? Or is that your son?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't really care for peanut butter, cheese.
Escargot,
definitely not escargot.
Here's a 32-year-old who's never had a hamburger. It says, and I do eat meat. Never even had a hamburger, and they eat meat.
How, you know, when you've chewed the meat that you've been eating, you're almost all the way to a hamburger. You've got ground beef in your mouth.
My friend's sister has never had bread.
Wait. Never eaten one time, has never eaten bread?
No, she was born without a mouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
she can't have bread. In her way, in her muffled, closed mouth, never had a mouth way.
Yeah.
Makes her gag.
Noises come through her nose, but... wait a minute, makes her gag,
makes her sick.
Like, so you don't eat the whole loaf at once.
No. The smell of it?
The smell of it, the look of it, like all of it. So
you can cut it up into slices.
Bread, toast, bagels, English muffins.
Oh, my God, bread is, we were just talking to Tom Papa.
Yes.
Dear Lord, it is one of the joys of life, freshly baked bread.
I am the bread of life.
House of bread.
House of bread.
Yeah, it's a church
Come on,
hymn,
Preston.
Yeah.
House of bread, like a bread made, a house made out of bread.
Like a gingerbread house.
I didn't write it.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Jesus lives in a gingerbread house.
Right. What, how's the song go, Casey?
I don't know these church songs.
I know. I am incredible.
Something like that.
Okay.
Pumpernickel over here. There's a loaf of whole wheat.
I do like pumpernickel.
I do like pumpernickel. Oh, yeah. But hang on a second.
All right, enough.
So she's never even sampled bread. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And so it must be the smell of it that makes her gag.
Yeah.
But again, bread has elements in it that I'm sure she's eating in all sorts of other things. There's salt.
There's flour and
flour,
egg and, you know, things
and
along
the bread
lines,
seeds.
wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's
a
really
basic
one.
Yeah. That's super basic.
I mean, when I was younger, I thought bread was pretty plain and I wouldn't, but if it had something on it, butter or
magic mushrooms,
hammer magic mushrooms,
yeah.
I'd be all over it, or sandwiches. But,
yeah.
But now I can just eat bread by itself if it's really good. I mean,
oh my God. In fact,
at all.
I have to, when I go to certain places, I have to know I'm risking killing my meal by eating the bread that they give you before the meal.
Right. I have, back when I was younger, Preston, because bread was so boring, to liven it up a little bit, you would squish it into like a little ball, right? And then you're not really doing anything.
My son really enjoys his bread balls. It's a little thing he does. It's adorable.
You're not doing anything to the flavor. You're just kind of changing the texture a little bit.
He'll sit down and he just makes his little bread balls and then he eats them.
Do you ever make
I'm thinking of bringing him to a therapist.
You guys ever make homemade cinnamon toast?
God almighty, it's one of the great joys of life. Yeah. We had a little bear, a little plastic bear with a cinnamon in it and had a little grate in the top. You could adjust it. I put it on my toast.
It is a joy of life, Steve.
Yeah, we put it in the oven and butter and cinnamon sugar.
You need cinnamon sugar.
Cinnamon sugar.
Yes, my dad was not much of a cook. He could make eggs. He could make a few different things.
Anybody want water? I know the recipe.
Pretty much. Right. But he would make, Steve, you would make homemade cinnamon toast. And so I decided to replicate the recipe one time and then you did not use cinnamon sugar.
You used
straight up cinnamon.
That's like when people think vanilla extract.
Right, yeah.
Gonna have some vanilla extract.
Well, anyway, thank you. So apparently there's a lot of things that people have just never even tried or will not try. I mean, not even once.
You gave very sage advice. Again, and I agree with Kathy, you don't browbeat someone into trying it. But maybe today's a day where you try something you didn't think you liked. I can list 10 things that I didn't think I ever liked. And now I do like and enjoy, and it spiced up my life. So maybe give it a shot.
Yeah, maybe if you feel like you're a good friend, maybe you try some things for a friend of yours who you always go out to lunch with. And
that's
you
not
going
to happen. Dictate
where you guys go out to lunch because you're unwilling to try things.
If he picks up the tab at Naf Naf today.
I've gone there, there one time.
You didn't hate it.
We're not going back.
Did you hear me quote you earlier?
Like, oh, what?
I heard you guys making plans to go lunch. You just go, we're not going to that goddamn Naf Naf. I love that place.
No, me too.
Anyway, speaking of food, we have a load of food here in the studio. We've taken a picture of it. It's from Acme Supermarket, the official supermarket of the President Steve Show. Chuck gave us this name. It's called the Acme 500. It's a game we're doing. We have five $100 gift cards from Acme to give away. You can go on our social media accounts. You can also go to PrestonandSteve.com. So check Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. And take a look at the picture. Marissa took a picture of all these groceries that she bought. And if you can nail the dollar amount without going over, you'll be in the running for winning a $100 gift card from Acme. If we don't get anybody who nails it exactly, we'll do the closest dollar amount without going over. And how you need to do that is text the word Acme, a space, and then the dollar amount in 39333. And we'll give that away a little bit later on. If we have multiple people that get it right on, we'll draw five randomly. So good luck to you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. Bizarre File is coming up next. Make sure you stay with us.
MMR was pretty humbled when the biggest hard rock band on the planet said yes to playing our final big birthday concert event. Okay, maybe not humbled. More like ecstatic. The MMR 50th finale with Metallica. October 25th, we blow out the 50 candles on our cake and blow the roof off the Wells Fargo Center. We begin our 50-day march to Metallica. Every day, you can win the coolest Metallica treasures, CDs, concert posters, collectible vinyl, and tickets. Grand prize, meet the band and take home a custom Metallica Yeti cooler. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica, on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Thank you. I had granola in my mouth. I was giving Kathy the stretch it out symbol there, signal.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I ate the parfait.
Aren't they great?
The parafait.
Yes, as Joe Yoakam used to say.
From Acme. And, so I realize we don't need that. So we've taken pictures of all the items so we can actually eat them if we want to.
Eat the table.
Yes. Have some bok choy there, Kathy.
By the way, we have a AAA hottie cam this morning. Angelina, Angelica, and Alex are all on our hottie cam this morning.
And LC just joined us.
LC.
Just wonderful.
All right, let me jot that down.
All wonderful young ladies.
All vowel starters, LC.
Well, right. It's L. The letter L and the letter C.
Okay. Yeah. Way to go. Way to ruin it, Elsie.
Yeah, thanks, Elsie. All right, so anyhow, we need to do the Bizarre File because I got lots of stories I want to share with you, so here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
This morning is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. That's Robbins Delaware Diamonds. We'll start with this, a news story. You may have already heard it. Kathy hit it earlier. I'm going to mention it one more time because still on the loose. Police have confirmed that an alligator is out on the streets of New Jersey near a highway. It was seen on Wednesday. A video also apparently captured the alligator as it was lurking in a neighborhood. Police said the alligator was identified at approximately 4:45 p.m. in the Devonshire section of Mullica Township. The animal is 3 to 4 feet long. It's an alligator or caiman who is seen on Hamburg Avenue between Route 30 and Durr Street.
Durr.
Well, it's D-U-E-R-E-R.
That sounds like right, yeah. Durr. That's what I'd say.
Residents are urged to report any sightings to police. This is the second time this week an alligator was found on the loose in a New Jersey town, by the way.
So if you want these exotic pets, which you probably shouldn't have, at least take care of them. This thing's, but Preston, the footage yesterday, again, I had, as I told you, I had no point of reference.
Yeah.
So just, was it kind of walking through a field? I'm like, Jesus Christ, that thing's big.
I know. I just thought of a band name, Jersey Gators.
Jersey Gators.
There you go. This is terrible. Two female mental patients chained in the back of a county sheriff's van in South Carolina drowned when the vehicle in which they were traveling was overcome by floodwaters.
Oh, my God.
The deputies who were transporting the two women to a different facility in South Carolina were saved. The two women have not yet been identified. The pair of deputies who were in the van tried to extricate the patients, but... due to rapidly rising floodwaters, they were unable to open the van's doors to reach the shackled women. Rescue teams responded in time to save the deputies. The coroner confirmed the two deceased patients were female. And I don't have any other stories in that.
Dear God. So they were
horrific is that, man?
Chained up in the back.
Yeah.
Did you see the video of it? It was the same thing. Another car got caught in floodwaters, flipped over. The dad was able to get out, and his baby was in the back seat.
Oh, no.
And there were, yeah, like a bunch of people trying to pry the door open. They did get the baby out. I didn't see the end of the story, but.
Thank God. Can you follow up on that?
Yeah.
Now I want to know.
But I mean, this may have been a case where the water, it looked okay to drive through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's too late, and you shouldn't have driven through it in the first place. A strange motive has. Emerged for the confessed arsonist suspected of setting luxury vehicles ablaze in a huge parking garage fire. According to a criminal complaint, he said that he believed couples were using the cars for secret sex, so he set them on fire.
Oh, my God. Thank God he stepped in.
Right.
They're having sex in those expensive automobiles.
Police say 23-year-old Evan Stevens admitted to starting the fire, telling authorities that he was motivated by his belief that others accused the parking vehicles or used the parking vehicles for sexual activity.
Yes, I'm interested in finding out the manufacturer's retail price for their Mercedes SUV.
Stevens, who is reportedly homeless, also stated that he routinely went to the parking garage and accessed vehicles owned by the car dealerships that stored their stock there, and that he picked one of these on purpose.
So why was car sex pissing him off so much?
I don't know. Security cameras captured guards confronting him after seeing him in the lot. And this was on Monday before the area had opened to the public. He reportedly ignored them, headed inside for part of the garage where a local Mercedes-Benz dealer kept some of its cars. Security camera video shows Stevens getting inside one of these models and moving around. Afterwards, that car can reportedly be seen smoking, with fire spreading through the structure in just a few minutes.
So if you were banging in a Chevy Volt, there'd be no problem.
Footage also features Stevens fleeing the scene. After police arrested Stevens Monday evening, he apologized for the inferno, which flared into a 7-alarm fire that required hundreds of firefighters to extinguish. Over 130 cars went up in flames. And in fact, witnesses outside heard loud explosions like bombs going off.
Dear God.
Bet you people won't be having sex in those cars anymore.
No. They might even be listed as totaled.
A New York man was arrested Tuesday after threatening to shoot an 11-year-old boy after losing to him in the video game Fortnite.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You reported yesterday that there's a rash of divorces taking place because of Fortnite addiction.
Some people are taking this way
too seriously.
Police Chief Stuart
Never saw this with Frogger.
Cameron said Michael Alaperdi of Long Island threatened to go to the boy's home and harm him, and also alluded to his school. The alleged threats were made through text messages and online voice messages at about 9 p.m. on Monday.
Where are you going, sweetheart? I'm going to go shoot an 11-year-old who just beat me in Fortnite.
The child had been playing the popular third-person shooter game with Alaperdi for several months. The child's family reported the incident to police, who increased their presence at the child's school. Cameron cautioned the parents to monitor their children's video game playing and to be aware of their online opponents. Alaperdi was arrested on charge of aggravated harassment, acting in a manner to injure a child, and an order of protection was issued for the victim. So this guy lost to the kid and threatened to kill him. Oh, my God. All right.
Someone needs to sit him down and really look him right in the eyes and say, it's a game.
Yep. All right, and then one last story. Large parts of the Carolinas remain underwater thanks to Florence's record rainfall. Did you guys see this? As of Monday, 1.7
million chickens had drowned in the rising waters, according to a release from Sanderson Farms, one of the largest poultry producers in the state. That represents about 8.5% of the 20 million chickens under the company's purview. The company warned some 6.3 million more chickens are at risk as floodwaters act like a moat, cutting off farmers from industrial feedlots.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
It's going to smell great afterwards.
Without access, those chickens could drown or starve to death. The at-risk chickens.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
Live on just 30 farms, each of which houses an average of 211,000 chickens, by the way.
Wow.
And also, they're having a problem with their, basically, their pig poop moats.
Yeah.
And those getting into
not
the water
the pig
system.
Poop moats.
Yeah, yeah, the pig poop lagoons. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And those apparently, you know, they're leaking into the water, and it can cause a
all sorts of diseases,
contamination,
hepatitis.
Yeah, yeah.
I drove from Raleigh to Wilmington, North Carolina, a few years ago, and it was in the summer. But you get behind one of those pig trucks, or you drive past the pig farm. It's revolting.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I live, Hatfield's not from far from where I live, and Hatfield Meats, their slaughterhouse is out there. And there are trucks of those pigs go by all the time. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It smells incredibly
bad. You know what I do like? I do like the smell, though, of a basic, you know, farm and the hay and the even the horse.
Yeah, that part's okay.
Even the horse poop is fine.
Yeah. All right, anyhow, that's what I have for you in the Bizarre File. Let's take a quick break and come back, and you have 1 minute. 1 minute remaining. Maybe you might have a moment to get this in there to enter the Birthday Bucks Part 2 word that we have for you. Greater is the word. G-R-E-A-T-E-R. And you got to do that through the MMR mobile app or through WMMR.com. So good luck to you. We want you to win $1,000. We'll be back in just a moment. And LaBelle Crawford's going to be here, Helium Comedy Club. We'll spend some time with him. Stay with us. Drive back.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
We're excited to have our next guest. He's back in our studio, and he's going to be performing at Helium Comedy Club tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday. If you've seen Breaking Bad or you watch Better Call Saul, you know him as Huel from the shows. Please welcome LaBelle Crawford.
Yeah. All right. I know what that grocery, I know the price of that grocery and meat. If you got kids, you know exactly how much.
That's right. Yeah. I got it. I got it exactly to the dollar.
First time.
I know. I don't want to mess up the winners, but I look right.
Take a guess. We can't tell you whether you're right or wrong, but just take a guess.
I'm looking at right around, I don't know how close, but I'm going to say about
$110. $110. I'll write that down,
okay.
And later on we'll reveal what that is, and we'll let you know. But you're saying $110. Hey, man, welcome back to
Philadelphia. But it depends on the grocery store, because I go to Food for Less, double coupons.
Everything
comes into the game, man.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah. Are you one of those dudes with the big pouch of coupons and all that crap?
Ain't going right, baby. Yeah. You got to add a coupon. You know, you walk in. But now it changed up. Now, you know, I used to go to Food for Less. Now I'm like Whole Foods and all the little fancy markets where everything, like a organic tomatoes, $14.
Right, right.
Handled by a virgin who never saw the time of day. Washed off with non-fluoride water.
Right. Oh, they go crazy, yeah.
This is what happens when you become a successful actor. You start...
You need to go back to Food for Less.
Nice, man. Well, welcome back to town. We appreciate you coming
Thank
by
you,
here.
Man. Glad to be back, man. I always love Philly. My people, that was the first time they was in Philly. Yeah, man, Philly got a lot of things to do. I said, it's Philly. This is where Rocky was. Joe Frazier was here. This is Philly.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
You know
Parking
what, though?
Wars, man.
Parking Wars. It's a great show.
God, I forgot
Dude,
about
is
that.
Is that how we're perceived? Because that show, man. But that show was spot on, by the way.
Man, it was very spot on.
Spot on.
Philly makes so much sense, you know, with the Parking Wars. I mean, you don't know where to park out here, man.
It's a nightmare.
I was standing. Parking Wars serious.
Yeah.
It was serious for a man. I was standing out on the corner and got a boot on my boot.
So I actually stood guard on your car day before yesterday because we both had to go in the city to do this TV appearance, and we were there's an area where you can go park for the press for this thing, and we couldn't find it, so we parked in a regular parking spot. I'm like, Steve, you go inside and see what's up.
Right.
I'm going to stay here and watch car because I was expecting them to be, come around the corner any second.
They don't play. They just sit there, and in fact, there is one area shown in Parking Wars down, I forget where it was, by one of the government buildings. Mm-hmm. It becomes ticketable parking spots after 4 p.m.
Right.
And they just would sit there and bam, bam, bam.
I was watching one episode, I don't know, it was one of them Lost episodes where the guy had a handicap sticker, right?
Oh.
And they towed his car and his wheelchair.
Oh, my God.
Put a boot on the wheelchair? That's why.
Guy laying on the ground talking about this is ridiculous.
They just took it off.
I was only in there 3 minutes.
Yeah, my friend actually went in one time, and they'll do it. My friend, true story, just goes across the street to ask about the membership of a gym, parks in the spot, comes out. 3 minutes! Hey. The car's up on the tow truck.
Hey, you know, but that's some good money. That's some good money right there. You can be that drive around the block guy.
Yeah.
They pay me to drive your car around the block until you go in a building. You can make some, like, Uber drive around. Not just, you know, going everywhere. I'm just here to designate drive around. So
that's
you
a
go
great
ahead.
Idea,
hey,
actually.
Man, that's some real money right there.
Yeah, bad.
Yeah, hey, players, all you players out there, you for some lucrative money. Yeah. Be that drive right because you got to look trustworthy. You got to wear a church suit.
You can't come
in no jogging outfit. You don't look like you're going to jack your
play. I'm going to need a little bit more than a church suit to have my keys over to you.
Church suit, Okay, a Bible.
A Bible. All right, now we're talking.
Lavelle, Casey was asking you off air about, was this the latest episode of Better
Call
Saul?
Better Call Saul, he was, I don't want to reveal what happens, but, you know, his character plays a pivotal point and is now kind of like the center of attention. It's weird because there's always like two different stories going on in that show.
That's what makes it great.
And so the Saul part of the story revolves around you and something that you did. And I didn't realize it was you. And then I walked in. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's who that is.
Yeah. A little different looking, you know, looking fly. But it's fun, man. I'm glad that, you know, so cool about Better Call Saul. Me and Bob Odenkirk.
He's so good. He's such a talented dude.
Man, but we was talking about it when we was on the set of Breaking Bad. Hey, they thinking about doing a spinoff. Where you think we should do the location? Would you be down? I said, hell yeah, I'd be down. I wish you'd do about 3 more seasons of this. Yeah. We walk right into that, but I was hoping I could come in the beginning of Better Call Saul, but when they brought me in, it was so intricate. You know, it was perfect.
You're dealing with a show. I mean, there are many who are in the camp that Breaking Bad was perhaps the greatest TV show of all time. Better Call Saul is getting all sorts of accolades.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, that's it doesn't get better.
Man, that doesn't get better. Yeah. I mean, but I'm hoping it does get better.
You hope it does get better.
but it's fun, though, man. It's fun being a part of it. And like I said, they got, you know, two can be, you know, if you watch it, I'm to be continued.
So
you can see more of me. And I guess the whole buildup of where we are, you know, in the present.
I think that's an interesting aspect of Better Call Saul because, you know, in theory, where it's going to end if you watched Breaking Bad because you knew where that character came into that series.
Right.
So it's this slow burn to something that's going to happen, and it's the build to get to that that's so suspenseful, and it's really been masterful over the first three
seasons.
Right,
it's not boring, though. It's not boring, like, you know, waiting in the doctor's office, and then you build up to, you don't have herpes. You know?
You're totally clean. Go home.
Thank God.
Well, let me ask you, so you're in the show, and it's a great show, and the whole thing, do you, since you're part of it, is there a part of you that's like, that you're still almost taking the position of like a viewer? Like you get excited?
Oh, yeah. Skip comes your way. I mean, the thing about it is, you know, Saul, you know, all the time I thought his name was Saul. First of all. Then you find out Jimmy McGill. Then you still see this whole level of he was trying to be a good guy, but he was that little brother trying to reach up to his brother's dream. But his brother hated him because he was loved by his parents. But he was just that guy where his brother was straight-laced and he was this butthole. to him all the time.
Yeah.
And he always wanted kudos, and then he went crazy because he was trying to prove himself all the time. So you see the metamorphosize. He was trying to be a good guy, but the world was breaking him down, beating him into this.
That's a nuance. Those are nuanced characters. Yes. And most of us fall in that realm where we have some stuff we're not proud of,
dude,
and we try to do good.
Hey, I got a lot that I ain't proud of. You know, if you ride around with me, you ain't looking at me on the side of your eye. Okay, I can get out here. I was a bad boy. You
really?
Know,
but, how bad did it get? If you're comfortable talking,
I've done some holding cells before.
Okay,
you know, I mean, I ain't been in no, I hadn't do no bid or nothing, but you know, mm-hmm. I didn't did some stuff that you know didn't get caught on me.
So
you know?
Jail, not prison.
Jail, okay. not prison. No prison. Thank God, I wouldn't did good in prison. And, you know, but I've been good though. I'd probably been on Top Chef. Okay? I know how to cook. I know how to cook with three lighters, make a good team.
You know, we did one time here. It's the truth. We had from there's a it's. It, what is the name of it?
Chi-Chi.
So in prison, they make this food called Chi-Chi. We had...
Okay.
So they like, whatever they can get from, I guess, whatever they can trade
from the
or
commissary,
whatever.
The commissary. Yeah, usually the ramen noodles is the base.
Oh, ramen noodles, that's always your base. That's basically your vegetable.
We had like five or basically your vegetable. We had like five or six ex-cons in here.
Yeah. And they made
it for us. It was a cook-up. We had like world-class chefs in here judging it. Let me tell you something. Even the best of it was still pretty horrible.
I'm sure. Yeah. You know, you got to understand, dude. You in three hots in the car. You in jail cell. You don't know if you're going to get shanked tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, extra seasoning on some ramen noodles with some Skittles.
By the way, LaBelle, the prize that we gave away was the golden shiv.
The golden shiv. And then did they give a speech afterwards?
They did, actually.
Yeah.
There it is.
They made it in trash bags and stuff.
So we don't know.
One guy got shanked right in here.
Yeah,
I remember you for cell block F. Yeah.
In the show in Better Call Saul, we don't know what's going to happen with your character. You could end up in jail. We're not really sure now.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, the thing about it is, I'm planning on, you know, keeping it real because I was going to make a run for it.
Yeah.
And that whole scene where I'm sitting there and I'm talking to Jimmy or Saul, you know, I'm thinking about that's my whole thing. When they had me in the cop car, I was just thinking like, man, I don't know what's going to go on. I done messed up real bad. And it was so weird, man. You know, when they talk about characters getting into your inner monologue.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing like a black man in the back of a police car get you back in your monologue. Because, I mean, I was right there, and it took me right back when I was doing a show in Oklahoma, and the guy that had my money, and I broke a Q-stick over his head.
Did you get your money back?
And I didn't leave. I didn't ruin it. I was laying right there hoping he'd get back up. Yeah, I got the money that he threw in my face. He threw like $100 in my face, like hit me in the face with it, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever seen ATL with a big boy when T.I. threw the money in front. You're going to hit a man, and that's so disrespectful. Hit a man in the mouth with some money.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how he did me. He threw the money, hit me in the face, and I just snapped because we had been there like 4 days.
Right.
And they had us like we were sequestered in a Ramada Inn where we had to stay tuned to a room. And the guy didn't have our money. We didn't drove to Arkansas and back. They didn't have our money. And I come in like, look, man, I need my money.
Yeah.
He said, man, we ain't got no money. And it's an older guy, too. And I was like, dude, you need to slow down before you get something you don't want. He said, here, man, he just threw the money at me, hit me in the face. And I just, before I knew it.
You didn't even know what
you
were doing.
Old man and corner pocket, you know. And I was sitting in jail, and thank God for Ricky Smiley.
Yeah.
You know, they had somebody had called because they said they were looking for me, and they were like, Ricky Smiley had called, called the hotel. They called the jail cell and they talked to Mr. Crawford. He's a comedian. The people recognized me in there from Comic View. He was like, he needs to get on the plane. He's got a show. He didn't mean to do it, and the guy wouldn't file no charges.
So he was able to broker getting you out?
Yeah, he was. If some reason that they let me out because they knew I was a comedian and I had to get to a show, he said, you just get out of this city. No, we don't want you here no more. You know, and I'm
wow.
Like, you ain't got to worry about that. You know, I came back. But I came back looking for that guy. Yeah. But I was able to get out and get to Birmingham, Alabama, where I got a couple of dollars, thank goodness, and
when you,
I got out of there.
When you got out of when you act so, I know that's a critical thing. They tell you, I mean, you know, it's a good tool to call back stuff in your own history to do that. So was it, I mean, are you a trained actor or did you just pick it up?
You know what? I always tell people this. Comedians and, you know, and being a brother going through a lot of transcendental drama, we could be great in drama because, you know, how I played off not paying bills. You know, look, man, my mom, you know, I don't want to talk about what's wrong with it.
Right.
You know, I can lie and stuff. And so I'm being a comedian. We always put you, you know, acting. We always
right.
We all. But I did go to some acting class. I did find
you did.
A way.
Just
because
to me, the hardest part we talk about all the time is learning the lines.
Right, and not stepping on.
And just, not stepping, yeah.
Yeah, because a lion, like when you know, lions would be like we conversating.
Yeah.
You know, and then in society now, back in the day, you know, nowadays it's text messages, you know, the emails, and, you know, they going back and forth in the chat room. There's no rest. Where conversation, when you're talking, you listen, and then you let them talk, and then you come off of their talk. You're not just waiting for them to finish their line so you can say your line. You got to feel their line because it's just like, you know, your girl then picked up your phone. Who is this, you know,
on
your
phone? Yeah.
So you got to go. You got to find that feeling. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you then.
I like you, man, because you put your finger up. Like, you know, he's such a good student.
Well,
did you get a lot of gold stars?
I did. Yeah. My mom was a teacher. And speaking to not stepping on people's toes, we raise our hands so that we try not to interrupt as much.
That's very good.
There's a funny video that Kevin Bacon did recently. We talked about the art of acting, and he was making fun of himself, essentially. And he said, you only need to learn your lines. You don't need to, you know, because that's the only thing that's important. But when you're doing an episode of Better Call Saul, are you learning everybody's lines? Are you reading what Jimmy's lines are? Or?
Well, I read the whole script.
Okay.
You know, so I know in detail what's happening.
Right, and the nuance between the two characters is really important.
Yeah.
So are you thinking about that in terms of a scene, or are you thinking about it in terms of like an actual conversation?
Both, because you know when you're in a scene, you know, me and Jimmy's eye camaraderie is very strong. You know, just like his relationship with Rhea Seehorn is like, you know, they're in a relationship where me and him are becoming, even though we are friends. They wonder why I'm such his catalyst, his muscle, but also the main guy he go to. Like, and if you see the scene, I don't know if you got to see the scene, he's showing me the office and he's...
Well, you think it's her.
Yeah, there's a relationship.
You're building trust.
Yeah, and the main thing is he know he can... I'm that go-to guy. The other guys, besides Mike, who would, you know, like when we was in the pinata scene, I would crack the guy in the head, just like I did the police. I cracked the police. I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
You know, for you, because you're paying me, I'm going there for you. So he said, man, this is my man. You know, this is my guy. This is my go-to guy. So the thing about it is our relationship, but I still don't trust him. You know, I'm going to jail. Now I didn't do all this for you. You could have told me this guy. Now I'm going to jail, but he said he can get me out. I'm the magic man. Now that's where we building up. That's our arc to saying, if you get me off, I got to be loyal to you.
Yeah, it's the forming of this bond. We're so fascinated by the process of doing it because we've heard other directors. We've had a lot of directors from, you know, Danny Boyle and all sorts of people come through here. And some will say, you know, it's got to be what's on the page, you know, punctuation and everything. And others say, you got to get the gist of it through in the conversation.
And the thing about it is the page, you know, and I'm always fighting that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes a script is written in their idea.
Right.
And if you can't see what they're writing, it don't ever work for you. So you got to find your idea because everybody has their own vision. We all read the same book and we're going to get something different out of it.
Right,
right. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I seen it. Did you see that part? You know, that's just how we think, you know. But I try to go past that. But I start to respect what he's trying to say because I don't want to jump on the character. No, I think he should wear a clown suit. You know, because if that's their vision, I got to stay in their vision. Like, I've seen some directors, I miss one word. You supposed to say this.
Yeah.
You said that. I'm like, okay, what the Yeah. You know, I mean, did we get there? Because see, that's where I want to get to the point. You know, I want to drive the point home where I'm at.
So like Clint Eastwood is legendary for just like one or two takes I've seen countless interviews with him. I mean, he's one of the great. We'd love to get him on the show eventually. You know, hopefully that'll happen. But he says he's hired actors because he trusts them to do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to do it. He wants them to interpret it their way, and unless it's radically off the rails, he's going to let them do what they do.
I was with Tyler Perry doing the Tyler Perry. One thing I like about Tyler Perry, 1-2 punch, baby.
Is that it? Yeah.
That 1-2 punch, we done the scene. It ain't no, okay, we got to, you know, now they might change the angles of the camera, but it ain't like, okay, we want to read it like if we were in a worn, torn city and there was only one cure for the zombies. I mean, come on, man.
Is he a cool dude? He seems like a really magnetic, charismatic guy.
Yes, in the dress, he is very magnetic.
He was Madea?
No, he's good people. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, think about it. I appreciate anybody, you know, because being who I am and being a comic, you know, I work everything I got, man. I work for my dinner.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of comics in my era that understand what I'm saying. You know, it wasn't ever handed to me. So when someone call you and then ask you to audition, they put you in the movie because they respect what you do.
Did you get to go out to his? Because he's got that like sprawling estate down. It was in Georgia.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we did everything on this. He bought the McPherson military base.
He bought it.
Yeah, he bought the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's a big compound. And he bought. I mean, it's incredible. We shot everything. That's where he shoots everything. Right there. And the thing about it was fantastic. You know, because I admired it because this guy, you understand, this guy used to live in his car.
Yeah, yeah.
From him living in his car, writing plays and becoming who he was, it was epic. But someone like that, it's just like Adam Sandler. Adam Sandler, I didn't have to do no audition. He was a fan, watched me on YouTube, said, it's the guy for the show. And that's why I tell comics all the time, man, go hard, go good, and just show your chops. Look, I got a movie coming out now. I got two movies coming out that I got about $1,000 for. But they low budget films, but it keeps my face out there.
Yeah,
but I act in Better Call Saul, just another leap of faith of just staying in something so people can see that you can handle yourself on the screen.
You take the job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lavelle Crawford is our guest if you're just tuning in, and he'll be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, Friday and Saturday. And we're talking about Better Call Saul, plays the character Huel, of course, from Breaking Bad as well. In your personal life, outside of your professional life, you've lost a bunch of weight.
Mm-hmm.
You're now involved in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You've been training?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu about 4 years.
For 4 years.
How do you like it?
Okay. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I wrestled in high school, so it was the closest thing. Wrestling got me in some of the best shape I ever got in.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about doing something like that, you can box, but if you ain't faster than another guy, your ass gonna be swollen up. Because I boxed, I go to boxing gyms, and I mean, I was feeling good about myself until the guy really showed me that I wasn't learning nothing.
Yeah,
and he beat the hell out of me, and I was pissing blood. You know,
that's a bad sign. Yeah,
right. But I'm strong. I know how to grab. I know how to grapple.
Okay,
you know, but I was taking Brazilian sports jiu-jitsu at first, you know, and I said, man, I'll be 50 this year. I ain't trying to go and get no gold medal no more. I ain't got nothing to prove.
Right, right.
But now I'm taking the self-defense with the Gracie Academy. It's the Valenti brothers in the Gracie Academy.
So Frank Grillo is a friend of the show from the person. He's doing, in fact, he's doing a show for Netflix that's all fighting around the world, and he did that with the brothers, and he's into it, you know, like crazy into it.
You would be amazed, you know, just like Anthony Bourdain, you know, God rest his soul, you know, he had got his black belt, I think, before, you know, like the year before he died.
Yeah.
And jiu-jitsu, he was trying everywhere, Brazil, everywhere. And it's the thing about it's one of the most clarification of, you know, of martial arts. Because you can do the kicks and all that. That looks great on TV. But when you know how to keep a guy from doing anything, you laying on your back. Because a lot of times, that's where it goes, on your back.
Preston's Krav Maga and our evening guy.
Well, you know how to kill somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the thing about it, you better go and get your hands registered at the police.
Do you train when you're, like, when you're going from city to city? Will you train? Because Steve was saying our afternoon guy owns a BJJ gym.
Oh yeah,
around here. Yeah.
Okay, well, give me a number. I bring my geese sometimes, but sometimes I like to go fishing. I like to play golf. So I guess some of the curriculums that I like to do. But
how's your golf game, Preston's a big golfer.
I mean, no records.
No records.
I don't get out as much as I used to, but I know I can my chipping is decent. My putt is good, but my drive broke. The plane airport broke my driver, so I'm working on a new driver.
What?
Yeah, I'm hitting with a driver that I ain't never hit before, but I'm getting my edge back. But I do all right because I used to be in like the 130 average, man. But I worked it all the way down to like a smooth 94.
Okay,
all right, so you're getting there. Yeah. By the way, if you got a golf bag, you got to make sure you get a good case to put it in.
You got to get a hard shell on top of
travel with them. Yeah, they can break.
Are they liable for that?
I don't know. I've never had it happen. Probably not.
I tell you what, you can make them liable if you take the club out and walk in there and talk to them personally.
With one of the clubs.
Because I went in and I filed on it. And one thing, I fly United a lot, and they've been giving me a lot of love. They gave my daughter lost her bag. One thing I said, United is really good about that. She's a makeup artist and a cosmetologist.
That's her livelihood.
They lost her whole bag.
Wow.
They wound up compensating. They gave her $3,000 plus $1,500.
Whoa.
So she filed a claim and they did good. But the funny thing about it was I was in radio for a year with Tom Joyner, and I was on the radio talking about it, and I guess they heard me talking about it. You guys got a voice, man, because I lost my iPad, and I said somebody up there in American Airlines stole my iPad. They wouldn't even let me get back. I went back to look for it. It was gone. You know, but next thing you know, they found it. In Raleigh, North Carolina, and so happened to be in Raleigh, and the people at Raleigh's baggage claim service got my iPad, but I had to bless them with like about 30 tickets, but that's still cool.
Well, I heard that driver was worth like $5,000, isn't that true?
Yeah. It was autographed by Adam, what's his name? Make up a name.
Adam Scott?
Adam Scott, I'm 50, I'll get a brain for it. Adam Scott signed it personally, and some of his sweat was infused into the club.
Well, you know, it's funny.
It said at 10.5 great.
Right.
Diamond crust. It's funny because we do have a megaphone, but the one thing you want to do is, like, we're always like, unless it's like goes really crazy off the charts and you're dealing with somebody and it's just been ridiculous, because, well, the one thing, you also don't want to get anyone fired. You don't want to get...
No. And I mean, the thing about it is, I respect customer service. Like, United show a lot of respect in customer service.
Have you ever worked in customer service?
You know, I've always been in customer service, being an entertainer and just being a person, you know, because the people will pay the bills if they don't come.
Yeah.
You know, and that thing about customer service, you are really important to the game. You can't be a jerk.
Yes.
You know, customer service. People don't even understand that customer service goes all the way down, even if you're working at the Dollar Tree.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know somebody going to come in there and complain, excuse me, one of my socks had a hole in it. I said, sir, you got it at the Dollar Tree. Thank God, just one hole.
Yeah.
You know? But I think sometimes customer service can be real, especially at airports. I done seen some people, boy.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, people miss their plane. They're crying. They say, man, we were on vacation. And, you know, and then the system says, well, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. What did they tell you at the gate? They told you they couldn't do nothing? Well, I can't do nothing. I'm like, man, you can't be like that.
Right.
You know, so I like them little old lady, little chunky chick. She's crying with you. She's got a Kleenex. She gives you a peppermint. There's nothing she can do. But she really feel like she did something, even though she didn't do nothing. Right. I got a peppermint out of it. She took my email and my phone number down. Never called.
Yeah.
I still had to wait till the next day. Yeah. But we cried together.
You just want to be heard.
Yeah, you just want to be heard.
I just want to be heard.
Yeah.
And that's what customers, it ain't like you can really do anything. You know, but like I said, giving United another props, you know, I mean, we all know United for dragging the poor guy off the plane.
Yeah,
but, I mean, you know, I was at United. My wife, she works my personal assistant. And she, you know, you booking tickets sometimes, you overlook, and she had booked it for Tuesday, but she knew she had did. I thought she had changed it. I get to the airport in Orlando.
I couldn't get on a plane because my flight wouldn't leave until tomorrow. I'm freaking out. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. I ain't want to go back to the hotel. I want to leave. I want to get on the plane. And the lady up there, God bless her, I don't even know her name, but she went through the rigging. She just almost like she was my auntie. And she let me get my baby home. You know what I mean? She got my ticket done, made everything. It was $200. She found a cheaper ticket. If I leave it now, got it for $75, you know, extra with the change fee. She made everything good, got my bag tracked. I was sitting up there, and then she gave me a peppermint and a Kleenex, and I said, I know you. And I hugged her and went out. Yeah,
it came back. It's like when you pull the thorn out of the lion's paw.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it'll come back to you because I think, you know, this world is getting to the point where that, oh, me too, me this, me that, me this, this whole thing where we don't realize, man, just, you know, you can't help everybody. You can't help every homeless person, but a dancing crackhead deserves a dollar.
Exactly. Yeah. Take that thought with you. Dancing crackhead deserves a dollar.
That should be the name of your autobiography.
If he's still able to dance on crack, give him a dollar.
I couldn't agree more. You know what? You're giving it for the right reason.
Right. He's working.
He learned how to dance.
Oh, my God. All right.
We're going to
robot. Bring back the robot. No, you ain't doing the sprinkler, are you?
Yeah, no, it's hard to do when you're amped up on crack.
Man.
Man.
Hey.
All right, we are going to end on that sage advice.
End on that note.
We're going to end right there. Lavelle is going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight. There's an 8 p.m. show, and then tomorrow on Saturday, 7:30 and 10 p.m., and even a Sunday show, too.
Yeah, wow. Man. I'm here in Philly all week, baby. I might gain an extra pound there, man, to slip up and go to the jiu-jitsu class.
Well, you've got some great weather. It's going to be a great week.
Man, I see. I mean, not a sun in the sky.
Right.
By the way, the Saturday 7:30 show is sold out, so you need to get tickets for 10 o'clock. Lavelle, it's great to see you, man.
Great to see you guys. Thank you so much.
Let's hear it for Lavelle.
Yeah. Right.
We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love? Well, if you're in love and you're ready to get engaged, visit Steven Singer at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. His Ready for Love collection of engagement rings are ready to go and ship immediately for free, all at the perfect price. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's see if you can't read me about the age from where the zipper ends around under my back of my bunghole.
I haven't heard old LBJ in a long time.
I think it was time.
That was fun. Nice. Hey, the amount of people that are entering these prices incorrectly is astounding this morning. So I'm just going to remind you for this Acme 500 that we're doing, you have to enter it in the proper way. It even says it on our social media that you've looked at on how to do it. Effing people baffle me, man.
We want you to win.
That's from Goodwill Hunting. I threw that out there for Nick. No. So we want you to win. Now, actually, so it's easy to do. All you have to do is text the word Acme, then a space, and then the dollar amount that you think of groceries that we have here in our studio that Marissa bought at Acme, and we posted it on all of our social media accounts. So go take a look because we're running out of time. We only give you a few more minutes. Five people are going to win. Closest two without going over, or if you get it exactly right to the nearest dollar, you don't have to include change, the nearest dollar, we will grab from that pool of people that get it correct and have five of them, and they win a $100 gift card from Acme. It's a pretty sweet deal.
$100 will get you pretty damn far at Acme.
That it shall. So take a look when you get the opportunity, and let's see if you can win. So I got a need to clean out some stuff in my junk drawer this morning. By the way, I was at an event, a school event. It was like a fair and a DJ was there and started playing this song.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And I immediately think of the junk drawer.
We've ruined it for a lot of people, yeah.
And by the way, my real junk drawer at home, oh my God, it needs to be cleaned out.
Overflowing.
It's terrible.
Yeah, mine's gotten bad too. So
I will tell you something.
Get on it.
Ever since the new house, we've been in for like a year. Keep the junk drawer lean and mean. I'm Mr. Tidy. It's an amazing transformation. Just keep moving every year.
You gotta go over to Steve's. Yeah, that's all you gotta do.
Just keep moving every year. You'll be fine.
Everything's nice and clean. So this was kind of interesting. You don't think about this stuff that often. This was in San Diego, and the fact that secret formulas still exist. And by that, I don't mean some cure-all that's gonna save the world, but secret formulas like for WD-40.
Right.
So they have they had to move the secret formula. Because they were transferring to a new bank. So the recipe for the water-displacing spray was in a suitcase, handcuffed to the CEO, and was escorted by armed guards in a Brinks truck.
Come on.
The commonly used household product was invented in San Diego 65 years ago. It is written on a spiral notepad, and it is actually the notebook of the chemist at the time who came up with the formula for WD-40.
There's a whole bunch of these, chemical recipes. Yeah. That mean everything to these businesses.
And the reason that they're still able to be a secret is it's never been patented. So,
well, why?
I don't know.
Well, and also this, they make everyone pinky swear.
Oh,
and yeah, and that's too. How they maintain it. So by not putting a patent on it, it never turns over to the public records.
People can't see what it is. And therefore, so you can create something that might be exactly the same.
Yes.
And since it's not patented, you can market it. But they already have the brand marketing and
people
know that name and they trust it. So they have no need to
patent. Now, you can hire, and it's what corporate espionage and things of this nature is a standard deal in that world. And you can hire chemists to sort of break down what you have and get close. But a lot of these are very precise. Mm-hmm. And, the entire company is based on not letting this information get out.
And it's a $0.25 billion company. Yeah. So.
I was handcuffed to a briefcase with something special. Remember, on the inside, it was the very first tap to Corona Light.
That's right. I forgot about
that
promotion.
And I had armed guards.
Yeah.
Bill and Jim from our sales department.
I was in the limo with you.
You were with me.
You went to Chickies and Pete's.
We went to Chickies and Pete's. It was the first Corona Light tap.
That's fun.
I think that patent technology applies to drugs sometimes, Preston. So, like, if a pharmaceutical company will come up with a new drug, for example, they will patent it. And then the patent eventually expires, and that's why generic drugs become available for certain prescriptions.
Okay.
Yeah, so there would be, at some point, a generic WD-40, maybe?
You would think so, if they didn't file for the patent for it.
Yeah, by the way, Preston, you described it as a water-displacing agent?
That's what it is described as, yeah. So, but I mean, that's what they keep moisture out.
I didn't know that's considered a lubricant.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
but so there's no corrosion.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so it because like iron will rust if it has water, but if you oil it, it keeps that from happening, and so it displaces the water, keeps it out. From what I understand, I may be way off.
So think of the things that would have. Well, obviously we know that Coke has a secret recipe.
Yep, and so does KFC.
KFC. Mm-hmm. We know that in the world of chemicals and. And things that we use commonly, like what else would fall in that list? What is an obvious one?
Oh, an obvious one. I don't know, but I know a non-obvious one.
Silly Putty, I know, has a...
really?
Yeah, believe it or not, Silly Putty has a special... and I don't know if there's a patent on that, but they have a special recipe.
I think it was created when Michelin was trying to create a new kind of
tire.
Yeah, something along... And a lot of things have come upon by accident, like Corningware came from NASA.
Yes.
When they were working on the space program.
Well, and I will say the Silly Putty, it has to have some secret recipe because it's the best out there. There's other, like, knockoffs and different things that people use, but the Silly Putty was the best.
It bounces, right? Like, if you turn it into a perfect ball, you can turn it into a bouncy ball.
It bounces, it lifts up a newspaper print.
Yeah. There's a, you've heard me talk about The Last Stand. It was my favorite hot dog joint in Delco, and it's not around anymore, but they're chili sauce is very, very specific. And there was another hot dog joint that opened up near there where they tried to replicate it. It's close, but not...
Were they trying to steal it?
Or just copy it?
Because there's
a difference.
Yeah, I don't really... Well, so the Last Stand doesn't exist anymore. So that recipe is just kind of sitting in limbo somewhere, just waiting for another hot dog joint to open up. But, you know, so I went to this place, and it was good. It just wasn't the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, you want to see how stupid we are? WD-40, water displacement formula number 40.
Wow. Would not have put that together.
WD.
There you go. Wow.
I thought it was Wilson. Wally Dumbro 40.
Wally Dumbro?
I invented it.
Oh, no. It was not Wally Dumbro.
I need to put some in my back door on my car started squeaking like it's a 79 Cadillac.
Yeah, my back door that started squeaking there. You got any WD-40?
I got to go get some.
Yeah. I'm an inventor myself. I invented the bread ball.
The bread ball? I used some on our recliner yesterday.
Okay.
There you go. It's quite handy, WD-40. So the secret formula has been moved. It's been locked away.
What is the yahoo?
Woo doggy!
Woo doggies!
Or no, they changed it with this, Steve.
Oh man.
Let's try it again. Reset it, Case.
All right. Wait, what is going on?
I don't know.
That's weird.
The bizarre file was sitting on the keyboard and it didn't work.
Every time I would rewind it would fast forward. I'm like, what's going on here?
You bastard.
Sorry about that.
Right.
Yes.
That's it.
And that's it.
That was it. Casey's giggle from earlier.
Yes.
All right. Something else from the junk drawer. Just thought you guys would find that.
I do like that.
Kind of interesting. And I do have a lot of things here. Ooh, Casey, here we go. Ooh. So researchers from researchers from Monterey Bay Aquarium and Stanford University have discovered between California and Hawaii an area the size of Colorado that appears to be what they call a white shark cafe.
Okay.
But it's unclear if the sharks are there for food or for sex. So these are great white sharks.
Do they
have
Wi-Fi?
Maybe.
Okay.
And that's why they all hang out there.
That's why they hang out there during their schoolwork.
They get some work done.
Right, yeah.
No, but apparently this is a concentrated area of great white sharks, and they go there, and this is authorities are trying to determine why these sharks spend months on an annual pilgrimage in winter and spring, and they head to the deep sea. Scientists say
it's between California and Hawaii?
Yes, and it's the size of Colorado.
Wow.
Scientists say that it appears these sharks are out there to feast on the abundant amount of squid and small fish in the region.
Yeah.
And the area where the sharks flock to was referred to as the oceanic version of the Sahara Desert.
Is maybe this is a perfect place to do nuclear testing, right? We get to just do all the stuff there.
Yeah, and then we come back with nuclearized.
Nuclear sharks.
Yeah. Sharks.
Yeah.
Sharknado.
Yeah.
So, yes. That's where it happens.
A friend of mine lives in like the Providence area, and apparently some surfer out in near Boston was just killed.
He wasn't surfing. He was doing the surf, the wakeboarding or whatever. When you stand on your paddleboard.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So he was. And I've been saying this. My wife went up to vacations in that general area years ago, a couple years ago, when we were out there. The seal population has gotten very robust around Cape Cod.
Yeah.
And where the seal go, the great whites go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and there didn't be no goddamn way I'd go swimming off Cape Cod.
A friend of mine was in her boyfriend's plane, and they were coming back from, they went up just for like a day visit, and she said she saw all these seal on the beach. She took a picture, she showed me the picture, and she's like, oh my gosh, look at them. What are they all doing? And sure enough, just a little ways down, you could see all of the shark in the water, and they had gone up on the beach.
They were like, you can't get me.
So apparently, researchers last fall used equipment to monitor the sharks' movement and found sharks taking unusually deep dives up to 3,000 feet.
Wow, that is deep for a great white shark.
And also noticed male sharks behaved differently from females. Male sharks moved up and down in the water in what's described as a V shape and swam in the formation up to 140 times a day. Wow. Either they are eating something different or this is related in some way to their mating. But apparently it's a concentration of all of these sharks. And they have this area called the cafe. Isn't that wild?
There was there's a thing I follow on Instagram called Million. And they, you know, do these cool videos and memes and stuff like that. And there was one yesterday that just terrified me. This guy jumps off of a ship. I don't know what kind of ship he was on, but he jumps off. Everything looks okay, and then he's like, now he's swimming back to the ladder, and then this shark just come, didn't bite him, didn't eat him, but it came up and swam like right up on him, and I felt, I wasn't even there. And I was so scared. I hate those
what
things
about,
so much.
So our friend Dave Balsacki went swimming with Great Whites.
Great Whites?
Yeah, and it was in somewhere in the Caribbean. It was Guadeloupe or something like that. And he was down in the cage, you know, the protective cage. Would you ever do that?
In a cage?
No. Yeah.
No. Man, I would, depending on the kind of cage. I would probably, I would stay away from the Fisher-Price shark cage, but yeah. I would probably do...
One made out of meat. I don't think I would get it. Yeah, no, but I mean, like, it's a protective cage, and that's why you get in it in the first place. But it looked
they're magnificent.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're you cannot really appreciate. I was after Jaws came out, and we took a couple of shark fishing excursions, and I was really just more interested in seeing them out in their natural area. And as we were departing one morning, with the guy who is basically the basis of Quint, Captain Mundus, Frank Mundus, was operating out of Montauk. Somebody had caught a great white, and it was up there hanging on the hook, freaking huge.
Yeah. Oh, we used to take pictures by there. They then made a replica, and it still hangs there.
Yes, right, down in Montauk. So you and then to think about you in the water, seeing that in the water.
Well, and I told you.
Shark goes in the water.
Shark goes in the water.
Farewell and adieu to your dear Spanish ladies.
Yeah. I told you guys last week that they found like a great white nest or wherever the you know where the
they're
babies
in the trees.
No, but right, no, right off of Montauk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
found
just
it, like
wonderful.
2 years ago.
That's just fantastic.
Side note: did you know that Stranger Things was supposed to take place in Montauk, but it was too expensive to film there?
Well, the reason that is because of a thing called the Montauk Experiment. You guys familiar with that?
That's exactly where it came from.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy theory that at Montauk Air Force Base that they were doing testing about psionic warfare, essentially.
Yes.
Sonic warfare, or using your brain to be able to read other people's thoughts, maybe manipulate people,
telekinesis,
stuff like that, all that stuff. Yeah. So it was initially going to be filmed there because of the rumor that this took place, but it was too expensive.
Yeah, so they decided to film it in a place that replicated Indiana because it was a lot cheaper to do scenes there, and Montauk was too expensive.
Yeah, I was just reading about the Montauk experiment this morning. I wasn't familiar with it.
It's crazy.
And it's tied into the Philadelphia experiment.
Oh, my God!
As well.
And you know who's in...
You know the story behind that, right?
Yeah, forget.
Invisibility.
Well, it was a time shift.
A cloaking.
It was it was supposedly took place at the Philadelphia Navy Yard.
Didn't people get fused into...
In the 1940s.
Yeah, so the rumor was that they were able to jump to transport through dimensions,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, it's like a tear of...
Right.
Fissure, a rip in the space-time continuum.
So the people who supposedly engaged in the experiment, as the legend goes and the lore and the conspiracy, when they did it, it didn't go all the way through, and some of the crewmen on the ship they were testing were fused into the hull of the ship. Like, they transported and got became part of the matter. All I know is that we almost lost the guy who was in Eddie and the Cruisers. That's how he was in the movie. So,
yeah. Who was that guy?
What's that guy's name again?
It wasn't Michael Paré. Was it Paré?
Yeah, Michael Paré.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's actually a long-standing story.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who still believe that.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if they do tours or anything like that. Because, you know, they have the ghost tours in Philadelphia. I wonder if there's
They should. I mean, if every area has some sort of group that capitalizes on those things.
Nancy Allen was in that.
Oh, she was in RoboCop.
And she was also in another movie filmed in Philadelphia, which was Blowout.
Blowout with John Travolta.
Oh, yeah. Dave Roberts was in Blowout.
Yeah. It was about when he's got his hair done.
Hairdresser, yeah.
They blew it out. And
you look great.
Yeah. Wow, you look great.
You look like Tina Turner.
All right. So anyhow, that was another thing. Back into the junk drawer, and we'll stay with kind of sci-fi since we were talking about Philadelphia Experiment and so forth. The star named 30 Edrani A, which fans of Star Trek know as the sun of the solar system that Mr. Spock calls home, really does have a planet. And of course, no Earthling can ever think of it as anything but Vulcan.
So is it Vulcan, the planet?
I don't know if they're going to name it that or not, but the newfound planet is about twice the size of Earth.
Yes.
It's about 16 light years away. Astronomy professor Jian Ji
co-author of a paper about the discovery, told NBC News that the discovery came as a complete surprise. So they've got to name it Vulcan.
That, well, yes, why not? Who cares, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, and so it's in the sun that they've, it orbits the sun that they've identified as being the sun at the center.
I guess from the TV
show. From the TV show. All right.
So 30 Eridani A is the name of the sun. And that is supposedly the solar system that Mr. Spock had called home. And so, therefore, they've discovered a planet. And, yes, they maybe want to call it. I don't know if they're going to call it Vulcan, but you would think they
could. You know, I own a star, Preston. I was given one through the Star Registry. And eventually, when I get there, I'll be a benevolent leader and king.
Well, you have a place to summer.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
Nice. Well, no, it's too hot in the summer.
Who knows? I don't know. We haven't been there yet.
True. It's the sun. It's, yeah. It's the star itself.
Well, yeah, true.
But then again, you would have rain over all its bodies, all its celestial bodies, right?
On all those that benefit from its heat.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I own a star, too.
Yeah.
We give those things away as well. It was, you know, at the time.
It was
you
know
what? You know what? You guys mean a lot to me. I'm going to give you guys your own galaxies.
Oh, yeah.
No way. That's expensive.
They should do that.
I know. Galaxies. Yeah.
There are billions of galaxies, sure. Right? So why
I'll
not?
I'll give you a galaxy.
Yeah. All right. Here's another thing. In fact, this is from... this is a poll that was done by the Just Saying Institute.
Really? If we just default to the Just Saying Institute, we're in the clear.
Actually, it was Oxford University.
Yeah, Just Saying.
I think they created the Just Saying Institute. And this is, they polled British peoples.
British people love to be polled.
And these are about having your life in order. So I thought this would speak to Miss Romano.
Having, things around your general life. We're not talking your whole life in order.
Kind of, something okay. This and that. So,
all right.
65% of the people polled say that they would be embarrassed if unexpected guests showed up at their door because their house is not in order.
No, my house is always in order, so it's okay. You can knock at my door.
You can come by anytime.
Come and knock at her door. She's been waiting for you.
No, there are certain times when Jace has got Legos poured all over the place or something like that.
Oh, my God,
but,
how embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly,
no, but
I'm sorry, but what my son is, plays with toys.
Yeah. What I'm saying is you are correct. You would never come to my house and find like it a filthy mess.
I've gone to friends' house, neighbors' houses, and listen, okay, so the main area of your home, the living room, whatever, the area you walk into and the kitchen and living room, whatever's most accessible to people who just happen to be stopping by, is in a general sense of order in my house. I've gone over to friends' houses where you had a chance to walk through their house for one reason or another, and it's not like they're having a party and they cleaned up, and their house is impeccably clean.
Yeah.
My house will never,
ever,
ever, ever, ever be that way. Our house is always in some form of disarray. Always.
We're pretty good now.
Yeah.
There's good order. You know, it never looks decimated.
Moving
but it
helps, man. Like, if new house, yeah,
you're able
helps.
To clear. Yeah, yeah. Now, we'll see how that is in a couple years where we've accrued a whole bunch of crap.
Now, my bedroom is the catch-all, right? So the rest of my house is fine.
Right.
The bedroom is where everything, you know, it's where everybody, all the laundry ends up and all that stuff.
The alpacas.
We were at a friend's house on Saturday, you know, adults and kids, we all got together. And what I discovered at the end of the evening, because my kids were making, like, movies and stuff like that, is that they were actually hanging out in the parents' bedroom, which I thought was, like, wow. Like,
that's foreboding.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like, that's where the sexifying happens.
I was like,
that's where daddy's dirty magazines are.
We might actually even lock our bedroom door if we're having people over, just so nobody accidentally walks in there.
Well, my kids' friends all play in
everywhere.
Our bedroom.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't. Oh, sorry.
It's the biggest bed to jump on in the house.
That's true. Yeah. I've jumped on it.
I'm definitely doing that next time I come over.
So we recently had an exterminator come out to the house because I was telling you guys about those house centipedes that were. So we needed the Terminex guy to come. And
you got a centipede, bro.
Well, he had to go everywhere. So he goes in the bedroom and he goes into the basement and whatever else.
He's got 15 legs.
15,000. So I was talking to him about, and I apologize for the mess in the basement, but I was talking to him about what our basement was like, and he's like, you have no idea, like, just speaking to this story about hoarders.
I can only imagine.
He's had stuff, Steve, piles of things fall on him as he's trying to navigate his way, literally just to get to the wall in order to be able to spray it properly.
Clutter drives me crazy.
Yes.
Stuff sitting on a table, you know, like, and my wife will complain, because I'll grab up her pocketbook and put it where it's supposed to be.
Right.
And listen, you pick your... I don't ever complain because she'll pick up something of mine that I leave in a place she doesn't like.
Right.
So it's the unspoken rule, and we do it. But, you know, I don't...
But what you guys are doing is pales in comparison to
right,
some homes.
Right, okay. So while you feel bad about it, it's not as exactly. bad as you would think.
A couple other stats from the Just Saying Institute. 21% say they're actually never on top of their laundry.
Why would you be?
You
mean cleaning it?
You're cleaning okay. it.
I'm trying right now, man. I really am.
You've been good for a while. You used to have a problem. We have a problem. We have a gigantic mountain of laundry all the time.
By the way, you have adults. Your sons are full-grown men.
Have four adults essentially living there.
Yeah, and one half-adult. My daughter is getting tall, too. So,
and the dogs wear clothes.
62% say they regularly find themselves having to rewash clothes because they forgot to take them out.
Yeah. Of the yeah,
does that happen to you?
Yeah, not often, but in the summertime, sometimes. Yeah. Like I have a schedule on my thermostat, so it will go up. You know, when I leave in, and if it's hotter in the house, warmer in the house, I find that you'll have to rewash the stuff quicker.
How many times have you been in the laundry room and realized you're not sure whether what you're looking at is something you needed
cleaner
to wash?
Dirty. Yeah.
And then you just re-clean it again.
Yeah. I'm usually on top of my laundry. I don't ever let it go because it drives me insane. I hate laundry, so I don't want it to get to that point.
All right, let me ask you a question about that then, Kathy. Like, don't you feel like sometimes, when you're so on top of your laundry, don't you feel like I don't need this many clothes. You know what I mean?
It's annoying. No, but that's when I go through my closet and I get rid of clothes. If everything doesn't fit, then I have too much, and I have to take stuff out and donate it.
When you were in college tearing it up, did you ever think, I'm going to be on top of my laundry all the time? I'm never going to make... I'm always going to... Everything will pass the sniff test, and company's always invited.
Casey, you know what I do love, though, is having every piece of laundry clean. Like, I will do the last load, and I'll throw in what I'm wearing so that at one point...
You'll be naked?
Well, you walk around naked?
No, that's not what I'm... I'll jump in the shower, like, get ready for
bed
or get ready for the day.
Okay.
But at that, just for a short period of time,
God.
I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my
everything
God.
Is clean.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
100%.
There's nothing in the room.
I told you the story.
So around what time of day does this happen so we can tell the UPS guy?
Yeah.
You guys remember the story where I got locked out of the house naked?
I told you.
That's because I was doing the laundry and I put the last bit of the dirty amount in the washing machine and then I got stuck outside completely naked.
Yeah, I love it. It's such a great feeling.
Do you love it so much that you would do it at my house too or no?
I don't think so. I don't care about
Kathy, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's really funny. I got to admit, and I'm not surprised. But everything
is clean.
Is clean.
And when you start to sully it by wearing something.
Yeah.
So I keep, here's what I do. And this is so pathetic. This sounds so pathetic. But I have a drawer of things where I have just slightly worn it that don't need to be clean that
right.
I'll fold into a still wearable drawer.
Like jeans or something.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Well, I have a hook.
What happened to me?
I have a hook that is for... I wore this, but
it's your poop stick.
I could probably wear this again around the house. You know, it's like, I can't wear this out because I already wore this out, but I can lounge around in this maybe tomorrow.
There are things that I've worn like half day, and I'm gone, that's good for another day.
It's still good.
That's no problem. Absolutely.
Still got another week in this underwear.
Yeah. Well, thank you letting me clean that stuff out of my junk drawer real quick. We have something else that we need to do.
What?
And I'm sorry we didn't get to this earlier, but...
Birthday bucks.
Next chance to win birthday bucks at 11 a.m. But first, let me go to Paul, who's on the line. Paul, how you doing?
Preston, what is up, man?
Yo, buddy, you tell me what's up.
Dude, I just won a thousand bucks, bro.
He's so excited he shoved the entire phone in his mouth.
He won $1,000!
Wow. Paul, that's huge. Where are you from, man?
Mantua, New Jersey. Born and raised in Deptford, man.
All right, Mantua, New Jersey, but born and raised in Deptford. And how many times did you try before you actually won?
I've been at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Unfortunately, Paul, we have a lousy phone connection. We can't understand a word you're saying, but we appreciate you calling in, buddy, and we're happy for you.
That $1,000 can buy a new phone!
Yeah, congratulations. Hang on a second. We'll make sure we take care of you. I wish we had a better phone line. We would love to talk to you, but you bet, bud. Don't worry about it. Listen, next opportunity, like I said, is going to be at 11 a.m. Then we do it at 1, and then we do it at 4, and then we do it at 6. So
yeah,
it's a chance to win. It's that simple. Paul got through. He won. Boom. Done
deal. Very, very easy way to win. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We're going to have to go ahead and give away these Acme gift cards in just a couple of minutes. So this is your last chance to go on our social media, take a look, see if you know the price of these items that we picked up at Acme. It's called the Acme 500 because if we have $500, we're going to spread out amongst five winners, $100 each in gift cards. Go take a look. The instructions on how you enter to win are there. All of our social media accounts have them. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here comes the MM Army.
Thursday from 7 to 9, the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over Saloon 151, 15 West Gay Street in Westchester. Catch the big game, win Eagles tickets and an autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light. Bud Light Philly special t-shirts and meet Nick McElwain from the Preston and Steve Show. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
I know right where they had a skip back bike in school. That's out where I live. And there's a series of roads that are like school, church, store. And seriously, and that's how old that area is. Because that's where, and you go down those roads, there's a church here. You go down store, there's a store there. You go down school.
Isn't that
school.
Wild? There's it's so
called,
cool.
There's one called Cow Path, which I'm sure that's where the cows used to make their way.
You ever get over onto Whorehouse?
Whorehouse.
Yeah.
That's a Whorehouse and Skip Back Pike.
Yeah, I'm right at the corner of Whorehouse and Skip Back
Pike. I would like, there's Meeting House. Yeah. That's where people would gather, I would assume.
Don't you love that?
It's cool.
I love that history. Yeah. I was just out in your neck of the woods for a Harley's Haven event.
That's right.
And it's lovely.
It's lovely.
There's a lot of lantern flies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I saw the post that you had yesterday or the day before, the lantern flies that had fallen.
The killing fields. Yeah, you were sick, but we talked about it at length. Yeah.
Man, that was nasty.
Yeah. They're all over the place. Yeah. They're all over the place.
So. I think that they should change the name to 40-foot road. It's outdated.
Well, there's 40-foot road and there's old 40-foot road,
right.
too.
But yeah, they're longer now.
I know they are longer.
You know, it's
I
really think impressive.
How wide they were,
9 inches road.
Okay. Yeah.
No, Ron Jeremy cul-de-sac.
The cul-de-sac is right at the end of base of 9 inch road.
Wait, when they change a name though, so there's like I find this odd in Conshohocken, and I can't remember which player it is, but a small little alley that has a name. Was changed and it's named after an Eagles player. I forget who it is, but
they can do that. By the way, that's why I don't see why you could not have a Preston and Steve Highway in this area.
Well, so both signs are there. So there's the actual street sign, and then the name is underneath it. Like there's two street signs.
It's an honorary deal, and they'll do it occasionally. In fact, and there are places around the city where you'll see. There'll be the official name of the street and then the honorary name of the street.
Right. West River Drive is like
Jervis
Avenue.
That was officially changed.
So the street in Conshohocken, is that Luis Endejas Boulevard or no?
What?
The former, do you not know the Eagles player?
I forget who it was. No, it was somebody. It was,
well, there's,
I don't know.
There certainly needs to be a Pierre Robert.
Oh, my
lane,
God, yeah.
Or would he be a pike or a
Well, he has a street sign, but I don't know.
What's the most difficult road? What's the road most likely to make you late?
Oh, 76.
Yeah.
It should be called Pierre Robert
Highway.
Pierre Robert West and East.
Yeah. Pierre Robert Boulevard. I don't know. But anyway, it is kind of fun, the history of those and how simply they were named. That's the road the store's on. Store road.
Yes.
That's where it is.
I love it.
Yeah. By the way,
street road. What are we going to call this road?
Oh, yeah.
That's
street
where the street
road.
Is.
What is that?
Yeah, we're going to put a street on this road.
Exactly. By the way, I want to double back just before I do the Bizarre File. Kathy, lots of people texting in that do the same thing that you do. Watch every single item in their home of clothing.
Yeah.
Even what they were just wearing, and go take a shower.
Wow.
While everything is clean at one point in time in the house. So there, we got a lot of text messages.
By the way, you need to make sure your water pressure's up to snuff before you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're running your washing machine and taking a shower.
Ah. It can be a little light. All right. We now need to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville. With everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond, all the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? And I saw the video of this, an 85-year-old grandfather who tackled would-be robbers wielding a sawed-off shotgun and hammers
has become an internet hit. This took place in County Cork, Ireland.
Yeah.
Dennis O'Connor was in the bar. It was called the Bar One Racing Office. So it's a betting, it's an off-track betting place, and there's money there. And on Saturday, three raiders burst in through the door. One jumped around at the corner, to the counter and threatened the manager, this guy named Tim Murphy. And another one pointed a shotgun at the 85-year-old Mr. Connor. And footage shows Mr. Connor refusing to back down. As Mr. Murphy tackled one of the men who threatened him with a hammer, Mr. O'Connor grappled with another guy with one of the masked men and shoved him out from behind the counter. The raider then fled, and he went after a second man who ran off. I mean, like, he's staring down this dude with a shotgun. And he just didn't care. He just did not care. And it was all over in less than 30 seconds. But the video has been shared hundreds of thousands of times on the internet. Mr. Murphy said that he would be forever grateful for the 85-year-old's help in foiling the robbery. He just
he's chasing after a guy with a shotgun.
I can't believe the balls on that dude or the stupidity, but he got out of there with his life.
Son of a bitch with a shotgun. I'll take out you little whippersnapper.
That's kind of what he was like. All right, and here's the story. Here's another.
I just pooped myself.
Here's the story of somebody else who wasn't taking any crap. A Texas woman said she shot and killed a 12-foot, 580-pound alligator at a ranch. And this is an older woman. It happened on Monday, and she suspects the massive animal had eaten her miniature horse.
This was years ago, right?
Yeah, the horse was eaten years ago, but she just killed this thing on Monday.
She has been on a revenge quest against the alligator that ate her show pony.
Judy Cochran, mayor of Livingston, Texas, became a great-grandmother recently in September. This month, and now she's telling the story of her memorable hunt. She killed the gator with one shot, plans to eat the meat, and hopes to display the gator's humongous head in her office. She said that she doesn't think of herself as a hunter, and she doesn't want to seem like she's bragging about the harvest, but she's been looking for this gator for some time. A miniature horse of hers went missing about 3 years ago, and the animal's remains were never found, she said, so we suspected a gator, and it would have to be a big gator. Well, since then, multiple alligators have been found on her property, which includes several miles of riverfront. But it wasn't until Monday that an animal large enough was located. And there's apparently a limited season on hunting alligators in this particular county. It's 20 days in September. She said the gator has to be captured on a hook before it is shot. So that's the rules. After she shot the animal, they baited a hook. And
yes, with like a raccoon roadkill.
After it was... It was immediately taken to a taxidermist, and apparently the hide is being made into boots, and its meat will be eaten. So she's putting it to good
use. My horsey says hello.
We're looking at a picture of this thing. It's humongous. 580 pounds, man. That's a big monster right there. She got it. A man collapsed after eating a red-hot ghost chili pepper and dozens of others in a chili-eating contest.
You got to watch that stuff.
Yeah, he was taken to the hospital. When he became confused, disoriented, and sweaty.
I'm very sweaty.
The drama came as he went head-to-head with the UK chili queen, Shania Wasim, and she's unbeaten in more than 25 competitions. The pair tied in the event, but the man became ill about 2 hours later. He was taken to the hospital and thought to have been discharged following treatment. Doctors have warned of the dangers of eating very hot chili, saying that they can potentially kill you.
It's true. And it has happened. You've reported on it. I think in one case, the guy's throat basically closed up.
Yeah, they say that thunderclap headaches can cause blinding pain for hours. The headaches are caused by the sudden tightening of the vessels that supply blood to the brain from eating these chili peppers.
Sounds like a wrestler from the 80s.
Thunderclap headache. Yeah. All right, we have time for one more case.
Yeah, it's got to be a shorty.
All right, here's a short one. The Old Faithful Geyser in Yellowstone National Park is a natural wonder. It's also very dangerous to get close to. That's why an unidentified man has been charged with multiple offenses after he crossed a barrier and appeared to urinate in the infamous Hot Spring Geyser.
Come on.
While ignoring orders to move away, he was arrested on the scene for that.
That's dangerous, too.
He could have kept just walking around it. can kill you. You can fall through the earth. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Casey says we got to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. We have one remaining hottie on our hottie cam. Kathy, who do we have on our hottie cam right now?
That is Elsie.
That's Elsie.
Elsie.
A few more minutes with Elsie. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second, and we will announce our winners from the Acme 500. Stay with us.
WMMR's live stream. Our daily programming available anytime, anywhere, on your desktop, tablet, smartphone, or open the new MMR skill with Alexa. Great sound quality and the occasional bonus song. Nice.
It's punctuated.
Yeah.
It's perfect. That's really what was missing in Casey's giggle.
Yes.
It's Queen on 93.3 WMMR. Everyday Rocks. Whenever I hear that song, I think of the Freddie Mercury tribute concert that was done. That was at Wembley, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And George Michael singing that song, and at the part where it's... somebody find me true love. The whole crowd singing that. Amazing. Get goosebumps.
That was an amazing, amazing concert. If you've never seen it, the Under Pressure sung by David Bowie and Annie Lennox.
Oh.
And then Bowie does the Lord's Prayer. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Pretty incredible. 9 minutes after 10 o'clock, we are the Preston and Steve Show. And there's been a whole lot of stuff going on through the course of the morning. I would like to go ahead and make this announcement right now, Casey, if you don't mind me doing that. Throughout the course of the morning, we decided to do a pricing game with our friends at Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And we call it the Acme 500 because in total we had $500 worth of Acme gift cards giveaway. So I have five people who were our finalists, and all of them got the correct answer. So we actually nine altogether got the correct answer, and we randomly drew five. Yeah, from over 2,000 entries, by the way. And the actual retail price of the items purchased was $126.
Yes.
And correct answers came from Kim Burgles of Holmes, PA, Alyssa Torres from Wilmington, Delaware, Christine DeBlazes from Warrington, Pennsylvania, Tom Collins.
Tom Collins as in the mix.
Yeah, the drink.
Tim Collins,
What's that?
That's
Tim Collins.
As in Tom Collins.
As in Tom Collins. Sorry about that. I immediately went to booze. I don't know where Tim is from. And Allison Winkler of Morton, Pennsylvania. So each one of them gets a $100 gift card.
Well done.
Our friends at Acme, yes.
A lot of participation and a lot of correct answers. And you nailed it.
I love games like that.
So do I.
I'm impressed, Preston. I was way under. I didn't think there were enough expensive products on there to get it up to $126.
Mm-hmm.
I was like at 89.
What I did was I rather than look at the items specifically, I looked at the general size, the amount of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, and I thought of it on the belt and how much I've paid for when I've checked out. And I'm like, okay, that looks like... It was like $126.
I agree.
And then I started to rethink and started to think of some other dollar amounts. And then Marissa asked me, I just went with that. And she's like, you got it right.
Wow.
Right on the
nose. So it was four bags of groceries?
I don't know.
I guess I see two bags on the floor. Three.
Yeah.
Marissa actually says, more. They're more bags.
It says five.
Six bags.
Okay. Do I sip seven? I got five, six, or five, I seven, six, seven, six, seven, 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 seven. It was like five, six bags of gross.
It's like two, three, four, five, six bags.
Bags of gross.
All right, real quick. If you were to pick out items from that, how close do you think you could get to the price of a single item?
I would not be very good at that.
No,
probably. Like, you pretty good at that?
No, I tell you what, I loved that version of the Price is Right game and the Let's Make a Deal game where they'd have them on the table and you'd have the card in front of it, higher or lower.
Yeah, Marissa has
or
the
two items, which one is more expensive. I like that one.
Yeah. Like, for instance, how much do you think that bok choy was?
Produce is tough.
Yeah.
Produce is tough because the international bok choy rates shift daily.
Right.
Go ahead.
What was the most expensive item?
Well,
let's
do we want to guess?
Why don't we all try and guess here?
All right, sorry. Marissa, do you have an idea? You have the receipt.
Hold on a second. Let me turn the mic on for a
minute. I have a guess.
The margarita mix?
Hang on a second. Nope. I can't see everything there.
Oh, wait.
I'm going with the coffee.
That's what I was going to guess.
Oh, where's coffee?
That was my initial thought as well, Casey, but I'm going to go with the... Chobani yogurt. Yeah.
No, that's like, that's a dollar.
No, no,
there's four of them in there.
Is that a cleaning agent, Nick?
It is.
What is that?
$4 then.
Signature Home all-purpose cleaner.
I didn't see that.
It does have bleach.
That's a lesser brand. Signature.
Yeah,
that's signatures. It's their more economical brand. I think the coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
All right,
I'm going to go margarita mix.
All right, margarita mix, two coffees. Nick, you saying the coffee as well?
The coffee, yeah.
I'm saying the Chobani yogurt. Marissa?
All right, I'm going to blow you guys away. Preston, those Chobanis were on sale, 3 for $10.
Oh.
So that is way underpriced, as you expected.
Okay.
Kathy, by the way, the bok choy, because I think it might not be in season right now. I think it was like $7.
Pretty good.
Okay. Margarita mix was $8.49.
Kathy's in the lead.
Dunkin' Donuts was $8.99.
What was the most expensive item from the entire? You have to go through all of your receipt there. Sorry, Marissa.
No, it's right here. It's the coffee.
It is the coffee.
It is the coffee.
Yeah.
Yay. All right.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I never saw this before. You got
Funfetti mug cakes.
Treats from Betty Crocker.
Wow. Yeah, dude. So. Is that, I think I've made these before. Like, you can make carrot cake in a coffee mug.
What?
Yeah, so, Steve, it's literally, you add water and it's almost like the Jetsons, man. You put it in the microwave for, like, a minute and it comes out and it's a full
cake. Make me a carrot cake.
You guys are going to have funfetti by the end of music news.
Yeah. What?
She'll make it. Marissa will go
make
it.
Right now.
I just wanted to look.
Dude, literally, like a minute, and you get maybe 2 minutes.
Should we do this?
And you get a full little cake in a mug.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, Marissa's going to go do it. She said, we'll have fun cutting
cake. Sure, yes.
Oh, whoa. What? There's four individual servings.
Whoa.
I don't want one. You can have mine.
I'll have two.
I'll have one.
Yes. Yay.
Did you hear that yay?
I sure did.
You know what? So my kids, hey, Dad, can I have a marshmallow? Yeah, you can have one. And they all go, yay.
All right, so that's where you...
Yay.
That's where you've gotten it from?
I guess
yay.
So.
Mm. All right, so Marissa's going to whip those up, but thank you for playing along with the...
By the way, kudos to Marissa.
Acme 500.
Yeah, she bought all the groceries, she did the display.
And she went through naked pictures of men.
Well, there was another contest we were going to do. Not only naked pictures of men, I mean, close-ups of men's junk.
Yeah.
Marissa saw more penises yesterday than she saw all last weekend.
And that was going to be with Alexis Texas, but she missed her flight and she's not coming by here. So, but she will be at Club Risque tonight in the Northeast, and then Friday at the Philly location and Saturday in Bristol, just to give you a heads up.
Her entire flight was canceled. She didn't miss it. They didn't fly from Philly from LA to Philly last night. So it was not her fault.
A weather thing or mechanical?
I don't know. The plane itself did not leave Los Angeles.
They didn't have a fluffer on board.
That's true.
That's what it was.
Well, actually, they did.
Yeah.
Well, she's beyond that.
Oh, that's true.
She's a star.
Yeah, that's right.
She doesn't do that no more. All right, no fluff. All right. Let's do the...
What?
Yay. I don't know. You looked at me like you had something in your mouth and you were...
Nope. Nothing.
Okay. All right.
What are you eating?
Lesson question is what we're going to... He's eating tobacco. Oh. All right, so...
I'm not eating it. I'm sucking on it.
I'm sorry. I'm full on tobacco. No, you misunderstand.
Wait, is that why you always sound like you have food in your mouth?
No, it's because I always have food in my mouth.
No, I mean, serious. When we laugh at you, is it the tobacco or is it the food?
No. Do I have anything in my mouth right now?
No.
Yes, I do.
Okay, got
Please
it.
Isolate Casey saying I wasn't eating it.
Well, if you're going to do that, can you isolate Preston last week saying how... Who did he pleasure, Nick?
I don't remember.
He pleasured Victor Wooten. That's what it was.
What's this?
I got so many emails. I'm like, dude, you got to isolate this. It was Victor Wooten's birthday, and you said something along the line, and I'm not going to say it, because then you'll isolate me saying it.
I would have said I had the pleasure of jamming with him.
I think you misspoke and said I had the pleasure. I pleasured Victor Wooten instead of I had the pleasure of playing
really?
With him. It was something along those lines.
I missed it if you said it.
Yeah, I missed it
so
too.
Did I.
Nobody jumped on me about it.
No.
All right, I'm going to ask a lesson question. According to Lavelle Crawford, a dancing crackhead deserves what? 215-263-WMMR. According to Lavelle Crawford, who was here earlier this morning, a dancing crackhead deserves what? 215-263-WMMR. And we will do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston.
Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning is brought to you by The Joints Chiropractic in Newtown Square. You can join Jackie Bam Bam in full Mummers Ensemble for their grand opening, and that is this Saturday. The licensed chiropractors from The Joint will be giving away free adjustments, plus other great giveaways and prizes. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Amber Rose going on an Instagram tirade over the way media is dismissive of her annual slut walk to empower women. Rose says the poor treatment has made her rethink going ahead with her plans for the Whore to Shore and Trampalooza. Pete Davidson has added to his ever-growing tattoo collection with some brand new ink depicting a pet pig he and Ariana Grande just purchased. Davidson says that one day his body will be a living scrapbook of painfully removed blurs after they split up. Online tabloids are abuzz with rumors that Caitlyn Jenner is re-entering the reality TV realm with a brand new show. Caitlyn says the show will be a blending of her voyeuristic lifestyle and her love of hunting and will be called Cuck Dynasty. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We shall see if we can find ourselves an answer to this question. According to Lavelle Crawford, a dancing crackhead deserves what? I will go to Jay. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Lauer on.
What's that, buddy?
Lauer on.
Lauer on. No. Hey, Lauer.
Assistant.
All right, so Jay, do me a favor and tell me what a dancing crackhead deserves.
A dollar.
Yeah. Hang on, Jay. Got yourself a pair of tickets in a suite and a parking pass to join Jackie Bam Bam and Nick McWain. Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race at Dover International Speedway. That's October 7th. NASCAR returns to Dover October 5th through the 7th, and tickets start at just $50. Kids' tickets are $10. You can get yours at DoverSpeedway.com. Music news time.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you this morning by Dunkin' Donuts. Feeling lucky? Grab a larger, extra-large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends October 15th, or while supplies last. For a game piece and official rules, you can visit sippeelwin.com. We'll start with this. Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker reportedly filing two lawsuits over a mishandled medical procedure that left him unable to play drums and the injuries he sustained from a recent car crash.
Is this the blood clot situation?
It is, yeah.
Ah, I did not realize this.
I hadn't heard anything about this. So Barker claims in the first lawsuit that he went to the Medical Imaging Center in Santa Monica to receive an MRI as part of a routine checkup for an upcoming Blink tour. And he ended up with nerve damage, blood clots, and a staph infection. Kathy, you're going to love how this happened. Barker was supposed to be sedated before the MRI, but technicians were unable to find a vein sticking him at least 40 times.
No. Wow. That can't be okay.
In the process, what he's saying was a dirty needle, and it gave him an infection.
Jesus.
Suing the medical office for undisclosed damages. Yeah.
40 times is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. That can't be allowed.
And I would have left and gone somewhere else.
No, thank you.
But can you imagine?
I would have done it myself.
Can you imagine the amount that he's going to sue them for? Because this has stopped their tour.
Yeah.
We're talking about a lot of money to be made here.
And it's potentially life-threatening.
Yeah, the second lawsuit stems from an accident in July in which Barker's SUV was hit by a school bus. The driver of the bus allegedly made an illegal left turn and caused a collision, so Barker is suing the driver and the bus company for the crash. He's been unable to play the drums in the aftermath of both incidents, forcing Blink to postpone both a Las Vegas residency and a full tour. While he has had to turn down other offers to perform as well.
You know, we talked about Post Malone, but it sounds like that Travis Barker banged a Dybbuk box.
Yeah, he's had a hard run here. This is upsetting news to hear. Dickie Betts, the co-founding Allman Brothers Band guitarist, is in critical condition after slipping in a freak accident in which he cracked his head, causing bleeding on his brain. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's going to undergo surgery tomorrow to relieve swelling on his brain.
What's the prognosis?
Well, I don't know. It's considered critical condition, so that's not good. Last month, he was forced to scrap a string of shows after suffering a mild stroke. He was playing with his dog on Monday, apparently, in the yard of his house, and he slipped and fell and cracked his head, so it's horrible. His wife, Donna, who is by Dickie's side with his children, said in a statement, "The family appreciates all of your thoughts and prayers during this very trying time.
We are by his side, giving him the strength to pull through this. There's been no official announcement, by the way, regarding his upcoming fall date. So obviously all of that stuff is on hold. He's 74 years old. Mm. He was forced to leave the Allman Brothers back in 2000. And of course, is best remembered for his timeless contributions, including Blue Sky, In Memory of Elizabeth Reed, Ramblin' Man, and the instrumental Jessica. So hopefully he's going to be okay.
He always, so he and Greg Allman were always fighting, I guess, was the was the deal. I got to see, I saw them with Tom Petty. Was it the BB&T at the time? I don't know. Anyway, it was a great show, and they were great. But that's horrible news.
Yeah,
you're out doing something. You're playing with your dog.
Yeah. And, yeah, so
don't play with your dog.
If we've learned anything today, don't play with your dog.
That's a shame.
Are we interrupting music news or something here? Because we've got the mug cakes.
Yeah,
mug cakes. You guys want to try them. So,
that is the most appetizing mug cake I've ever seen.
It literally takes like 2 minutes. Yeah, it's hot, dude. It came out of the microwave.
Hell.
Yeah,
this is magic.
It's cake. I'm telling you, it's like the Jetsons. Wow. It's out of that. And so you can get carrot cake. You can get
it comes with icing.
They make several different kinds. So it's made in the mug.
Thank you guys for bringing this over. By the way,
in your microwave. All right, So you guys continue.
I'm making a cake in my mug.
You eat.
You do the show.
Good luck with your show.
Well, I do the show.
You can actually do brownies in the mug, too. And you don't have to, like, buy a special mixer or anything like that.
This is insane.
Scratch.
How do you do that?
I don't know. Like, sugar and
chocolate. I am tired of lavishing accolades on Neil Armstrong. Who's the guy who did this?
Yeah. All right, Imagine Dragons have dropped a brand new song called Zero. The track was written and recorded to serve as the end credit song for Walt Disney's Animation Studios' Ralph Breaks the Internet. Which hits theaters on November 21st. What's the matter?
It's terrible.
Oh, you don't like it? Kathy doesn't like it.
No.
Kathy, okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to part ways with you on this one.
According to lead singer Dan Reynolds, the film's emotional themes are reflected in the song. It's a pretty timely movie in ways that it addresses some of the issues and of identity and loneliness unique to the internet generation, he said. So they're going to be in the end credits.
I'm sorry.
Wait, do you guys... It's birthday. It's... What do you call it? What
funfetti.
Funfetti cake?
Funfetti.
I don't like funfetti cake.
All right.
Me neither.
Have you ever had it?
No.
Yeah, this is not cake or food or anything. Whatever it is, though, is very... I like it.
Okay. It's like a cup of sugar.
It's like people say, well, you know, the Oreo cream is there. I don't care what it... I don't care. I don't care if it's hard insulin.
It smells weird.
Yeah, it does.
No, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what, though? I could totally...
Funfetti cake!
I can put the icing right in my mouth and eat that. Yeah. No, I'm going to do that.
All right.
Tell me this is not...
I'm letting mine cool down.
This is
a
brownie?
Yeah. That's not a brownie. It's a
cake. But in a my mind is reeling with possibility.
We need to find out all the flavors that they can.
That
Betty Crocker.
It's only 1,500 calories a cup.
Look up mug treats and see what other flavors you can find.
All right.
From Betty Crocker, and I'll tell you about Kiss. As expected, they have announced
the greatest mug cake I've ever had.
Oh, they got a
new Kiss mug cake.
You need to wrap your mind around the concept you can prepare an entire cake in a mug.
They got a lot of varieties. They got brownie. They got peanut butter.
Yeah, triple chocolate cake, hot fudge brownie, chocolate peanut butter brownie.
Do they have a Kiss cake?
Cinnamon roll, soft baked chocolate chip cookie. Steve, did you hear that?
Yum.
blueberry muffin, chocolate caramel cake mix, and there's no carrot cake. I've had carrot cake before. Maybe it was a different brand that I had.
There's a gaping hole in their list of potential cakes,
mm-hmm.
and that comes in the form of the carrot cake.
It's
the way you say carrot cake.
So, Steve, you don't have to do...
I don't have to do a goddamn thing except to eat my cake out of my mug.
Nick's literally just eating the icing.
If you wanted to
Nick's
just...
eating the mug.
Yeah. Here, just put the icing in your mouth.
No.
It's good.
Steve, if you just wanted to make a brownie in your mug, all right, without having to go out and buy a Betty Crocker thing, quarter cup of flour, quarter cup of sugar or more, 2 teaspoons of cocoa, pinch of salt, some cinnamon, quarter cup of water, 2 teaspoons of canola
oil. A whole recipe. Just a whole recipe.
I'm not done. An 1/8 teaspoon of vanilla extract. And
you're making brownies.
Yeah. And then you just nuke it.
So instead of putting it in the oven, you can do it in the
microwave.
You
just put it in the microwave.
Have you tried it yet, Case?
No, I'm letting mine cool down. Plus, I got
to
dip it.
I was about to ask. You're sitting here holding your dip and your dip cup, and I'm like, man,
I'm dipping into my cup of flank steak.
If you eat that, that'd be nasty. Okay, so anyhow, Kiss has dubbed their final global trek as the End of the Road World Tour. They made the announcement last night on America's Got Talent, and fans have been waiting for some type of world tour. And it came to light last night.
It was weird because it's America's Got Talent that they made the announcement on.
Well, people had an idea this was going to happen because, listen to this, in February, it came to light that an application was filed by the band with the United States Patent and Trademark Office for the use of the End of the Road in connection with live performances by a musical band, which is, of course, what Kiss does. They patent everything. So this is them making the announcement, and I think it was Paul Stanley who made the announcement. Not 100% sure, but here we go.
Okay, so you guys are heading out on your End of the Road farewell tour. How's that going to feel?
Well, this is going to be our last tour. It will be the most explosive, biggest show we've ever done. People who love us, come see us. If you've never seen us, this is the time. This will be the show.
All right. Well, we're going to make sure that all of you guys check that out, right?
All right. So,
right?
Tyra, if I can for a second, Tyra. As many of you know, I'm a huge fan of Howie Mandel's. He used to do a thing I don't know if many of you remember. He would take a surgical glove, put it over his head, and inflate it with his nose. And that was hilarious. On the eve of the night before I will try my first cup mug cake, that haunts me.
He had to make a statement.
Tyra, if I may. As we're reviewing all the very talented, fiddle players and magicians and puppeteers and quasi-Cirque du Soleil wannabes. When we started, we were the face of rock and roll, raucous, raw, like an exposed nerve. And here we are with you, a 10th tier model, standing in front of D-level celebrities.
Big fan.
And your point, Gene?
My point is, if we weren't going to end it with the tour, I would have ended it backstage with a bullet in my mouth.
All right, so this is a better option.
It's a better option.
As most fans remember, back in 2000 and 2001, Kiss already performed a farewell tour.
This is our second one.
The trek, which was the last to feature Peter Criss, and so that was the original band. Played 142 shows over five legs.
We've actually never met two of the members of this band.
Covering North America, Japan, and Australia.
We've never seen them with their makeup on.
So they made the announcement last night.
And actually, the full presentation, though, was there. I mean, they really, they had a full Kiss performance.
It's great. I've seen them live. It's great.
They're freaking Kiss.
What's not to love about it? The fire, the blood spitting, the flying through the air.
It's what you want.
The explosions. It's worth seeing.
And they've embraced it
for years. Yep. One last story. Metallica will play a rare acoustic show on November 3rd at the Masonic in San Francisco. The evening, which is dubbed the All Within My Hands Foundation Helping Hands Concert and Auction, will celebrate the first full year of Metallica's All Within My Hands nonprofit foundation, which was launched last year to help creating sustainable communities by tackling the issues of hunger and workforce education.
Oh,
and
give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
And encouraging volunteers. Yeah, they've gone totally full.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%
full.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Can you play it?
I don't know.
Hang on, I got to. We're going to make it out.
Oh, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Don't really know the rest of the words.
You gotta go.
Master of puppets. Puppet, a master. Cake in a cup.
That was incredibly impressive. how we do the glove thing.
In addition to an unplugged performance, or several unplugged performances from Metallica and Cage the Elephant, the night will offer attendees the opportunity to bid on a one of a kind auction items.
Not for anything, but how do they do? These are incredibly aggressive songs. Yeah. How do they?
Not all of them.
Acoustic. I mean, they have acoustic songs that they can perform. I guess.
I imagine they'll go through and choose the ones that make sense.
Suitable. Yeah. Nothing Else Matters comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a few songs that are a little more down-tempo and a little less crunchy. Tickets in the balcony and a limited number of floor seats will be available via Ticketmaster, and that'll be this Friday. And speaking of Metallica, 50-day march to Metallica is happening, and we have, in conjunction with that, every day we're giving away something from Metallica and getting people registered for a great grand prize. I have Master of Puppets on CD and vinyl, and we'll take caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. So you get through, you get that prize, and you will be qualified for the grand prize meet and greet with the band.
Wow. And they're really cool. They're really cool with their fans.
Yeah, they are. And also a custom Metallica Orion 65 tailgate cooler. Check out the complete list of prizes at WMMR.com. MMR's 50th finale with Metallica is October 25th at the Wells Fargo Center, and tickets and information are available at WMMR.com. That is music news. We'll take one last break, come back in a second, get ready to wrap it up. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Yesterday seemed like a godsend.
It was excellent.
Just more of that. And then, listen, sort of autumnal temperatures would be nice. I think we're moving. Right. And Sunday is autumn officially?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Saturday
is, yeah. No, I would have taken, we did yoga outside yesterday.
Really?
It was quite enjoyable.
I ate yogurt in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
Yeah. No, I did yoga yesterday too, not outside.
Okay. But I'll take yesterday any day of the week.
Sure.
Yeah. So we do have rain that's on the way on Sunday and Monday, just a heads up on that whole thing. Thank yous. Let's do that. Thank you to Lavelle Crawford.
Yeah.
Lavelle was great. He is at Helium Comedy Club. Some of the shows are sold out, some aren't. You can go to heliumcomedy.com, find out all the information. But if you're not familiar with Lavelle by name, he plays Huel on Better Call Saul and also Breaking Bad. He was on. He's a great guy. He's very, very funny.
He also played the comedian. I forget the name, his stage name in It's Always Sunny when Dee becomes a stand-up comic.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah. So thank you to him for stopping by. And thank you to Marissa for going and purchasing.
She did a great job.
Yeah. Acme, and got everything for our Acme 500. You did all that, right, Marissa?
Cool.
And even brought in bok choy for Kathy.
And a whole bunch of D-picks.
Yeah. Well, she did do that.
Where are those?
So we'll use those another time.
Yes.
So those are the only thank yous I have, I guess.
It was funny because she handed them to me because we found out that Alexis Texas was not going to be able to make it. So she said, you can have these. And then she came back in a little bit later and she's like, actually, hang on to these because we might need them at another time. And I was like, she's right. We never know. Yeah. Here, Pierre, you can enjoy this one.
Yeah, here you go, Pierre. Enjoy.
It's two-sided.
Yeah, yeah, and they're suitable for Christmas cards.
It's a double shot Tuesday.
Yeah, do you have your Christmas card picked out for this year?
I don't, but this would certainly shock Grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
Or please,
oh dear.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she handed me.
I know him.
So we were going to use him with Alexis Texas. If you don't know her, we were going to do. We were going to show her close-up pictures of men's genitalia of people that she's worked with, or we assume she's worked with. And see if she could identify them by that alone.
And look, she did a lot of work. She did the zoomed in and then the actual picture so we could reveal who it was.
Yeah. It's really, she did a lot of work.
Oh, my God. Marissa, stop handing these to me.
Nope. No. I don't want them.
Email them to her, please.
Here, Pierre wants them.
Pierre.
Here's an action shot.
Robert.
Oh, my.
There's an action shot?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a guy crossing the finish line.
Wow.
He's making a mug cake.
Release the ice.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Come on.
Man, right, I'm so glad I just finished my mug cake.
Hi, Pierre.
Hey. Hi there.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Excellent. You want to do the letter of the day?
You betcha.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
N as in Nikki, Nikki Hoy.
All right, and there you go. Nikki Hoy.
Mm-hmm.
We have a four-pack of pit tickets for Rock Allegiance. It's Saturday, October 6th, BB&T Pavilion and Wiggins Waterfront Park. And You get to introduce Skillet and Bad Flower with Brett Porsche up on the main stage. Three stages, 20-plus bands. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com, including the 1933 Lawn Ticket Special, available through this Sunday, and there's no password required for that whole thing. I want to talk about today's show.
Yes, I do.
What's coming up, man?
Well, we'll have Birthday Bucks Part 2. More opportunities to score $1,000 at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. We'll also have...
Sorry.
What the hell was that? What was that?
My computer.
Kathy's watching porn.
I guess so.
No. She's watching the gentlemen who were mentioning these cue cards. And we will also have... Oh, I wanted to mention Councilman David O's show. I mentioned it yesterday. And it's called In the Know with David O.
I like it.
It's Tuesdays at 2, and it's on WWDB, which is one of our sister AM stations now. It used to be an FM station, but they saved the call letters. And it's his hour of, you know, talk with different people in the city about city issues and stuff like that. So I told him I'd give him a plug. He did not ask me for one, but I told him I wanted to because he read the proclamation for our 50th anniversary.
And you're delivering on your promise.
And I am delivering on my promise. Then we will have Birthday Box 11 and 1. We will have also a very special guest today.
I enjoyed listening to Michael Tierson yesterday.
Cool.
That was cool, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, amazing history with some of the, you know, we're all here because of the people who preceded us, every one of us. And there have been some amazing characters. And MMR's been lucky to have two dynasty-like morning shows. Obviously, yours, which continues its amazing run. And then there was the Morning Zoo from 80-something to 90-something. And John DiBella will be our guest for Alumni Week.
John's today. Great. These people are now. I didn't grow up listening to Michael Tierson. I didn't grow up listening to Ed Bailey.
Earl Bailey.
I'm sorry, Earl Bailey. Or Pearl Bailey. I messed up his name. No, but these people are celebrities to me. Because of what I do for a living. I host the morning show now, but I started as a DJ. I did music shows. And I looked up to people that I grew up listening to, not only as providers of music and information to me, but I wanted to be in their shoes. I wanted to do what they did. And so I listened with kind of a different set of ears than the standard
It's
person.
A different skill set.
I listened to learn how to do that. You know what I mean? So the people that came before us are important to me. I've never met these guys. I didn't grow up listening to them, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. And I kind of wish I could go back and see what it was like in their day of doing what they did. You know what I mean?
Well, John is still on the radio on our sister station. But but
and I know John well.
Well, so, yeah. But he I learned so many things from him. And you know, he knew how to build a promotion like no one I've ever seen. Starting with, you know, like take the Louie Louie parade. He said, let's just have a parade. Okay. Let's just have a parade where everyone plays kazoos and does it to Louie Louie. And the first one, and you know, and slowly planting the seed, and then gradually gaining steam and building it and building it, and the first one had a couple hundred people. The final one was 40,000,
close to 100,000 people or something ridiculous like
no,
that.
No, yeah, actually, I my numbers are confused. When we got down to Penn's Landing, we were about 80,000 people, and all there to sing Louie Louie. So yeah. John was a master and still is a master of promotion and a very funny guy. So he'll be our guest today, Earl Bailey, tomorrow. And then over the weekend, we'll have all kinds of voices on the air from different DJs who've been here over the years.
It's a rarity. I mean, in fact, we're the only station that could pull this together with this amount of people who are willing participants in its history and coming back and celebrating it. Right. So it's a part of something special. So it was very cool, the reaction to the whole City Hall thing from people who were emailing and saying how much you would think, okay, is this going to be like so boring that people don't give a rat's ass? But the reaction was really good. They were sort of happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, so, it was neat. It was really neat. So on we go. But, so the 50th anniversary celebration, you know, just continues like a flower or a fern to unfold in different kinds of ways.
Like kudzu.
Yeah. Like kudzu.
Stuff
like
goes everywhere.
Cake in a cup or something.
Yeah. Cake cup. Cupcakes. All right. Those mug cakes.
Whole different thing, bro.
I'm gonna thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show does run on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University.
quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Tomorrow on the program, in studio guest will include Jay Moore.
Yeah.
Jay is stopping by. Robert Kelly is coming by.
That's a hell of a show.
We will have our good friend, Dr. Mike Sirigliano, here to give us flu shots tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we do that every year. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
I'm a nice, quiet little town of Berlin. Jack Hammers and Elise Brothers at 6:30 in the morning. Don't these people sleep?
Next message.
Hi, this is a message from my sissy. Happy birthday. You're the best friend, best person, and you are my Preston and Steve fan. We do everything together, and we reference it all. I love you more than my luggage, sister.
Next message.
I can't stand you f***ing adults that haven't eaten common foods and you act like small children. How do you not have f***ing mayo? How have you not eaten mustard? Or the one woman said honeydew and eggs? Try some food.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.